much about. Okay, well, let's find the old gang, get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I went to Vivian Westwood and sat next to Rihanna and was just like...
Did you hit that?
Oh!
Be the interview killer!
Oh, my God. Oh, it's terrible. What have you done?
This was a complete disaster.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Attention, everyone. All menstruating women go home immediately.
You can't let a girl feel good about herself. It will backfire on you. Every compliment has to be backhanded. Oh, I like your dress, but I'd like it more if you had prettier hair.
I heard it. That was high and tight.
Well, what do you think about that? That the Catholic Church would allow someone in, welcome someone in, who denies the Holocaust. Isn't that offensive to you?
Ah, what are you going to do?
And now, our feature presentation.
What are you going to do?
I like that answer.
Morning is the best. Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new show for a Thursday morning, and I'm being told that I need to ask you, Bean, for the Doto email.
There is a Do update, yes. Kevin and Bean Lister Doto, who is the International Man of Mystery, who is the most I'm not kidding when I say this. The most difficult guest to book on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
If we started now, we could literally get President Barack Obama on the show before we could get Doto on our schedule. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Let's see. I wrote to him on September 24th and said, Doe, we have to talk to you tomorrow. It is important that we do. Where and when can we call you?
September 24th. So it's almost a month later.
Yes. I got an email back from Doto just a few minutes ago that says this. And this is what I love about Doe is because he tracks. I mean, he's with you. You ask him a question, he's right there with a direct answer. When can we have you on the show? Bean, my father thinks maybe a black woman would be goof for me, Doe.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I'm assuming, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, assume he means good. He means good for me, not goof for me.
Yeah. Sure.
But where does that come from? And how is that responsive to, we must talk to you tomorrow?
Well,
where can we call you?
He's never been responsive. And that is fascinating because we've really worked on trying to be as direct as possible so that if he reads our email, there's no way he can not respond to it.
Right. And
So that's why being so specific, tomorrow, have to, when.
Right.
Yes.
And nothing else.
Nothing else. Yeah.
No
small talk.
No, hey, what's going on with your dad? Hey, have you met any ladies?
Right. He goes off as soon as you do that.
My dad thinks a black woman would be good for me.
Right.
What does that
mean?
Goof
for me. Goof for me.
As I'm looking at this email, I see that on September 24th, my direct request to him was in response to this email that I can see now at the bottom of the page. What he had written to me on September 24th.
All right.
Bean, I got laid, man, and a few drinks, $50. Hope we still friends, no bad feelings, Doe.
Wait a minute. Hope we still friends? Why would you not be a friend if he got laid?
I don't know. Doe sometimes thinks that we're mad at him or something, and he's probably just saying, hey, I hope everything's good between you and me. And you know what? It would be good between you and me, Doe, if you'd come on the freaking show when we ask you to.
We're not mad at him. We're scared of him, I think.
A little bit.
I don't know. He crazy.
Find the cribs with the knives and the panties. That's good too. Doto is one of our favorites, and he is not always here. He's usually traveling someplace in Asia. But Psycho Mike did do a Doto cribs where he went over to his house and found a bag of knives.
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not. You mind if we go through these?
No. Look. No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? It's just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds bad, right?
I promise you. I promise you with everything. I swear on anything. There was no tricky editing. That wasn't a setup.
Wow.
I 100% totally found hidden knives behind an air conditioner vent.
What is this bag of knives? And you know what his answer was? It's not.
Yeah. That's not sufficient.
How is that an answer?
And then I found the stash of women's panties, and I say, Doto, what are all these women's panties? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And
I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. And I'm saying, I'm talking about this, pointing at them. Look it, see?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not a sufficient answer.
Wow.
That is the Kevin and Bean school of denial.
Yeah, but...
It is.
In the
it
face is. Of absolute evidence to the contrary, just deny
but
it.
He doesn't just say, those aren't panties. He says, I don't even know what you're talking
you
about.
Are
That's insanity.
Insane.
I can't even understand the world that you're speaking from.
But it is interesting that when you started to pull the bag of knives out, he really was trying to stop you. He clearly knew was in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And... we also did include some stuff on the video, which at first we were scared to, but now it's like we might as well just let the cat out of the bag. I found...
He had a cat in a bag also?
I found tons of black market medications.
Really?
And he would just say to me, he's like, that's not medication. I'm like, no, it is, Doto. I'm holding it in my hand and I'm a human being on Earth and I'm using eyeballs to look at them. I see these are medications.
Was it propofol?
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. No, there were pills, and there was thousands of them.
Wow.
And he's like,
the best.
Like Bean said, he's the international man of mystery.
Wow.
He's the only guy, I'm banking on this, that you will find in the same drawer a college degree and a Special Olympics trophy.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
and you can't wrap your head around who this man is.
That is true. Well, I'm going to write to him as soon as we're done here on the phones and tell him we need to speak with him and where can we reach him. And
sure, that'll work.
And that'll work.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Time to include your calls. It's Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountains Fright Fest, along with tickets for you to see Morrissey at the Fox Theater on December 7th or the Gibson Amphitheater on December 10th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10. That is going to be a great show. Why don't we start with Carlos? He's on line 2. If true, this could be the best call of a whole month.
Carlos, hi.
How's it going? What it do?
What's going on?
What it do?
So I just found out that my wife's got a tail.
Ah! Wait a minute. She's your wife. How long has she been your wife?
7 years.
7 years? And you just now found out that she has a tail.
Yeah, she's always talked about her tailbone, you know, and I never really understood what she was talking about. And just one day, surely enough.
Dude. You shouldn't be together 7 years before you flip her over, first of all. And second of all, how could you not have felt whatever she's talking about, even if you hadn't seen it?
I don't know. I just figured she's just talking about her, you know.
Right, but you've never seen her naked from behind.
No, I have, but it's not that obvious. If you feel back there, you can definitely feel something.
Yeah, that's not much of a tail. That's not much of a tail at all.
It's more of a tail than I have.
Unless she can pick up a phone with it, it's not a tail.
Not quite.
Can she wag it?
You know what? After I felt it, I was telling her, you move around, move your back, and then you can definitely feel some kind of movement, but not much. But yeah, definitely.
That's quite something to find out about your wife after 7 years.
Well, yeah. I think Carlos is insane
dull?
That he wouldn't know that. Yeah, I mean, you've never felt her bag.
Oh, Carlos.
I would divorce my wife. Sight unseen to marry another woman with a tail. If I could find a woman with a tail, I don't care who she is or what she looks like. That would be the dream of all dreams.
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean.
Yes, go.
I need a woman.
All right.
Let's try Ray on line 3. He's got a Halloween-related call as we get ever closer to the holiday. Good morning, Ray. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Not much. I was at Party City the other day looking around for a costume for myself, and lo and behold, there's a costume that looked like Amy Winehouse. It was like the beehive hair, and it looks like a little horseshoe tattoo, but they don't call it Amy Winehouse. They call it the rehab.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they don't have to pay her if they say, oh, that's not Amy Winehouse. That's just
exactly.
a character.
The rehab.
I was amazed when I saw that one.
That's pretty strong.
That was my costume last year.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Oh, were you Amy Winehouse?
I was.
Oh.
And I think you're right. I don't think it said Amy Winehouse on mine either.
You would have to get breast implants if you wanted to be Amy Winehouse this year.
That is true.
Now you would. She just did that.
That's a great tip, though, Ray.
Yeah,
Lisa is too hot to be Amy Winehouse. That's true. Well, she threw acid on her face before she went out of the house.
It wasn't acid.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan. What it do?
Hey. How's it going? What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
Hey, well, I'm calling about PlayStation.
I received a message yesterday saying that they're going to start charging to play online.
Yeah, crap.
That's
bull crap. What's that about? Give me the details on
that. Odd.
You know, you go online, any game, let's say Modern Warfare. You go online, you play for free, you play anyone that, you know, that's on PlayStation Network. Now they're going to start charging like Xbox Live. What kind of crap is that?
They charge per minute or something?
To play online.
I know, yeah.
So, how do they charge you?
Well, yeah, per minute. You know, to get your ID, user ID, and everything. And you got to pay a fee now. They're going to start it.
That seems like a bad move on their part, as people certainly don't have a mountain of cash laying around. I mean, one of the reasons people like video games is you can play, you know, hundreds of hours off of something that's relatively inexpensive.
Exactly. Huh. And if they do it, that's a bad, bad move.
I think so, too.
Are you going to do it?
I don't think so.
All right. He's putting his money where his mouth is.
Well, I mean, a lot of people couldn't. So they just go, well, if you're going to charge, I'm out.
Right.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan, for the call. That's interesting. I'll have to look into that.
Let's go to our other Ray. He's on line 5. Sounds like he's got a crisis situation at his house. Hi, Ray. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What'd it do, Melfon?
Oh, wait till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow.
What's happening? You
know, basically, I got this terrorizing dog that lives on my mom's house. His name's Peewee. He's a killer chihuahua, and he only has 3 legs.
You have a three-legged chihuahua.
Three-legged chihuahua. He's a tripod.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, every time I take my kids over to my mom's house, they're always he's always getting crazy with them, trying to fight them. So I think there's only one place to send them. It's Puppy Lake.
Puppy Lake.
Oh, you can't kill the dog. He can be trained.
That's a chihuahua.
No. The thing is after he got hit and he basically his arm went limp. It was real, real, real bad where he was gnawing at it and they had to amputate it. And now it looks like a pretty huge hot wing he's got on his front leg.
Right.
So this guy's got his balls are pretty big.
Right, but
this
you don't
sounds
put
like
a
an
dog,
awesome dog.
You don't put a dog down for that. You don't put a dog down for having only 3 wheels.
Yeah, maybe if he was my dog, but unfortunately he's not, so...
So,
I don't get it.
Okay, if you're calling to ask our advice as to whether you should kill your mom's dog, the answer is no.
Yes.
No.
No. No.
He gets a bye.
He gets a bye, yes.
He gets a bye.
We're going to give him a reprieve. The dude already got hit by a car and lost a leg.
What does he want?
I'm just sad that his name isn't Lucky.
I don't like chihuahuas, but for God's sakes, that one deserves a little time.
I agree.
Yeah, they are barely dogs. I mean, we're almost not even talking about pets here. But yeah, let the dog slide. That's what we're saying. I mean, by all means, be careful if you've got little kids. Be careful when the dog is around the kids, you know, or maybe don't let the dog around the kids. But don't send it to Puppy Lake.
Yeah, especially if it's not yours. That's a bad trend. I would not like to see that begin to be a trend.
Right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
You were dead. We're going to talk to you today. If you actually died and then came back. Some people say they see things, lights and whatever, but...
it changes their lives.
I don't know if you saw the story that this is based on, but they have a new CPR now that involves not breathing. You don't breathe for the person, you just...
You keep the blood circulating.
Yes, that's it, because there's plenty of oxygen in the blood.
Yeah.
And this dude was dead for 15 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Dude, that's enough to miss the end of the movie or something. I mean, that's seriously checking out, 15 minutes.
Yes, it is. it is, and you'll miss more than just the end of a movie, though.
But I'm saying 50 minutes is a long time. Usually people are dead, you know, a couple of minutes.
Right, exactly.
But 15, that's a ton of time.
Petros Papadakis will be here in studio talking baseball, football, the best sport of all, hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else? Daniel Tosh is going to be in the studio today talking about Tosh.0 on Comedy Central, a great show.
I have not seen the new ones, the ones that just debuted this month. Is it still awesome?
Yeah, it's getting funnier. He really is getting better at it.
Oh, good for him.
It's really good. Wheel of Bad Animal Voice is coming up today.
Oh, great. All right.
So we're going to take a look at Celebrity Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a drum audition for Melfon because Ralph is on vacation until Monday. And we're going to send you to see the Family Guy. Recorded live.
Oh,
how about that?
That's pretty cool.
So that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz.
Ralph is on vacation. It's time for the Showbiz Beat. By the way, 1 hour from right now, Kevin and Bean's token blacklister Anel is going to be joining us. He'll be hosting the Showbiz Beat in 60 minutes.
He's going to be on 60 minutes?
That is odd.
Why don't we start with the most shocking story that happened since we got off the air yesterday, and that is the beautiful pop singer Leona Lewis is doing an in-store in Britain, and I guess she's got a book out. Why Leona Lewis needs to write a book? It's an autobiography, right?
Autobiography, yes.
Yeah, how about a little less writing a book and a little more getting naked is what I have to say to Leona Lewis. But she's doing an in-store in Britain, and a man shows up who patiently waits in line, waits his turn, steps up to get his book signed, she thinks, and instead, he punches her in the face. Now,
oh my God.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, who would have anything against Leona Lewis? I mean, unless the guy knows her and they have some sort of personal history, I can't imagine that she's the type of person that comes along that fans go, oh, if I had the chance.
Right.
It's not Pete Wentz we're talking
right,
about here
right,
who
right.
deserves to be punched in the face. This is Leona Lewis. What has she ever done?
You get the idea. The guy didn't say anything. You get the idea. He's just crazy. Just
maybe.
She was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, my God. Maybe.
Maybe so, but he was arrested, so maybe some details will come out. But what a bizarre story. I mean, talk about the last thing you would expect if you're Leona Lewis signing your book, right?
Well, yes. Certainly, because it's an autobiography, so people that are there want to read about your life, and you would think they would be
right.
on your side, let alone not punch you in the face.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Britney Spears has been voted the best celebrity mom.
By whom?
By fans in Britain.
Oh, come on.
Are they insane?
The best celebrity mom. Not just good, but the best. Number two and three were Christina Aguilera and Angelina Jolie. But they were behind Britney Spears.
Britney Spears. Does it say what the criteria was that was used?
It does not, but to me, it just you could tell who responds to stuff like this,
like teenagers. Right.
I mean, to this particular
who like Britney,
yeah,
right. People who like Britney responded. So the fact that any of them said she was a great mom, though, means they don't know anything about what's gone on,
right?
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is know that Kevin Federline gets the kids half the time, and you realize that Britney Spears is not a good mom, right?
Yeah, well, yeah,
because that's no good for anyone. How about this news? You're a fan of the Cleveland Show?
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. We had Mike Henry, the executive producer and the voice of Cleveland, in on our program a couple weeks ago. It's turned out to be a smash hit, by the way. We had already heard that it was renewed for next season. Now it has been renewed for the following season.
What's happening with that show?
Locking him down.
I guess he told us that it takes a very long time to get these things made, so you need quite a lead out. But yeah, that does seem like it's pretty crazy. It's been on the air what, 3 or 4 times, and you know it's got a fantastic time slot right now. It's between The Simpsons and Family Guy. But I guess they think they can keep that Sunday night lineup together as long as they can. I'm also very excited about this, by the way. They're releasing a Cleveland single this Christmas, a duet with Earth, Wind, and Fire called "Get Your Hump On This Christmas." And if you've seen the Cleveland Show or know that character from The Family Guy, you know that he considers himself quite the ladies' man. And that should be very, very funny. I'm looking forward to that.
By the way, in a world where they renew shows episode by episode sometimes,
right.
You know, they get 6 months into it. I mean, 6 episodes into it, and then they find out if they're going to do a 7th. That's
right.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it
really
it is.
I
don't know if you watched the SpongeBob, but you know Sandy? Sandy's the squirrel on SpongeBob.
Okay.
It's a she. She's a squirrel. And they're going to get married. SpongeBob
really?
Is going to get married to Sandy.
Well, a sponge can't marry a squirrel.
Apparently, a sponge can marry a squirrel.
How would that work?
It's going to happen. Entertainment Weekly has an exclusive sneak peek at the SpongeBob wedding. Some of the guests that are going to be there include Tina Fey, Ricky Gervais, LeBron James, Triumph the Insult, Comic Dog, Will Ferrell, Craig Ferguson, and Rosario Dawson.
What world are you living in, Kevin? You just make all this up.
I'm not making that up. SpongeBob is getting married.
SpongeBob is a cartoon.
SpongeBob can't be happy?
How can those people go to his wedding?
Well, I don't know if they're going to animate him or
I
what.
Don't understand.
They can't even breathe underwater.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
And by the way, doesn't SpongeBob strike you as a... I mean, I know
Where's
it's a sponge.
His junk?
I know he's a sponge. I get that. But doesn't he strike you as a kid sponge? I mean, maybe he's six?
Yeah.
Five,
oh,
six, seven?
I hadn't
seven.
Even thought about that.
He's certainly not a grown-up.
I don't know how he's going to do it with a squirrel. I will tell you that I'm very confused.
I don't know how he does it with anything. He's a sponge.
He's
that
a sponge.
Is true.
Yeah.
That's hard to argue.
We've got some questions. We may have to get SpongeBob back on the show. Hey, if you were bummed out that you missed the opportunity to be on top of Marilyn Monroe for all eternity, remember when the plot was being auctioned off on eBay,
right?
Down there at Westwood Village Memorial Park and Cemetery. Well, it turns out the guy who promised to pay $4.6 million with it was a phony bidder or didn't have the money.
Oh,
so,
no, really?
So and that sometimes happens with these auctions that get a lot of publicity. People just jump on there and just start typing in crazy things, figuring they'll never have to pay. Well, they're going for it again. They're putting it back up on eBay, and it's going to be a little stricter now. You're actually going to have to prove that you've got the funds to pay for the auction. The starting price is $500,000, by the way. There is going to be a reserve. It is hidden. We don't know what that is. But you have to prove that you have the funds for the auction, and you have to make a refundable deposit at some point if it gets to a certain point and whatnot. But, I mean, I'm with Kevin on this. I can't imagine if you're dead, it would be – I mean, it's funny and all. Yeah, I'm on top of Marilyn Monroe, but you're dead. You're not really going to enjoy that.
Right.
So this would not be for me, even if I had the money, but somebody out there will look at this and go, yeah, I got to get me some of that. By the way, Hugh Hefner only paid $1 million for the plot right next door to Marilyn Monroe. But I guess it costs more to be on top of her than it does to be next
to her. Sure. That's true with hookers as well.
Yeah, it's odd that same way. Deal. Right.
Will Michael Jackson's three kids be starring in their own reality show? This rumor has been around for a couple of days now. Inside sources tell Us Weekly that the family is fighting over it. Prince, Paris, and Blanket are going to be in a show called The Jacksons, A Family Dynasty, set to launch on the A&E Network this December.
Do they need money?
I don't think so.
They may. I don't know. I don't know if they need it or if this is a family thing.
I mean, they have gone so out of their way to hide those kids. The first time I really saw them was at the funeral. Now they're going to throw them on a reality show? That doesn't make any sense.
The family, now that Daddy's dead, there's a lot of members in the family who go, hey, it's about time for us to start making money.
Oh, that's
sad. It's a dysfunctional family at best.
Yeah.
But apparently Catherine, Michael's mom, has told TMZ she will not allow it.
Okay.
But I don't know if she has the,
the power.
She has custody of the children, though, so it seems like her vote would count. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one.
How long till they make those kids make a record, by the way?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're rehearsing them right now.
I would bet you they're in the studio right now.
Yep.
I mean, Joe Jackson. Yeah, exactly. Joe, Michael's dad, is still alive. He started beating his sons when they were about 5 to get them to perform. How long till he takes out the belt for these kids? Yeah. I don't know.
We'll run out of time, but next hour I would like to tease that we have Tina Fey on Letterman talking about why she was a virgin until she was 24.
Oh, wow.
Because she didn't meet me.
An hour from now.
All right.
Yeah, that's better. All right, today's celebrity birthday is director, actress Penny Marshall turned 67 today. She must be very excited about the return of the Lakers season. Isn't she one of the celebrities
she is
at every single game?
She's always there. She always goes to a lot of Clippers games, too, though. It seems like she's just a basketball whore. Hmm.
Also, speaking of the Jackson family, Tito is 56 today. Perhaps the most famous chef in the world, Emeril Lagasse, turns 50 today. Bam! Also, Eric Benet is 39. He's a musician, but I bring him up because he's the guy who was dumb enough to cheat on Halle Berry.
Yes.
That's what Eric Benet did.
Yeah. That's how I remember.
Where is that?
He had Halle Berry, and he cheated on her. Here's a celebrity birthday who I'm sure will be spending it in a condo in Las Vegas that she got at a very reasonable rate. Tanya Roberts is 54 today. And the former Duchess of York, Princess Sarah Fergie Ferguson, is 50. That is the Showbiz Beat.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Oh, eating now.
Okay.
Didn't know how much time was left in that song. Had a mouthful of Cheerios going. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here, and we are going to give you a chance to see the Family Guy live in about 15 minutes or so. We'll give you more details, tell you when to call in, but it's an exceptional opportunity, if you love that show like we do, to actually get to see the voices behind it. That is coming up. First, though, we might as well take advantage of the fact that Ralph Garman is on vacation and enjoy the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because usually he's the wet blanket. He's the one who says don't call. He's not here. I say let's call away. What do you think?
I agree. Let's do the wheel.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
We have a lot of different voices, stories, animal stories on the wheel, and then we spin it and we try to find out some more information about the particular story that it lands on.
Okay.
I will say there is no shortage of animals in the news. It seems like every single day, like this morning, I woke up and saw those kids that were out playing football and they got attacked by a deer. Did you see those kids?
No, I didn't. Awesome.
Yeah, they think that this deer was in a fight with another deer and was chasing another deer and just knocked over this kid, just ran right through him to get to this other deer while they were playing. And I see that story, and I think two things. One, I think is that's cool. The other is I hope we get a chance to talk to that deer one day.
Right,
so that's why we created the wheel, is because now we have maybe a way to reach some of these animals.
We have a renegade kangaroo story.
Okay.
We have pimpin' chimps that's been on here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Japanese attack bear. We have the Russian dog girl. We have the rock-throwing elephant. We have the attacking Komodo dragon, the Argentinian mega colony ants, and the hippie vegetarian spider.
All right.
A news story that we're very excited about. Let's spin the wheel. Oh, look, it stopped on the hippie vegetarian spider.
Why? Like you stopped the wheel, though.
What are the chances that it landed right on that?
It sounds to me like you faked that.
No, it stopped on it.
It's right, or you could let it spin and then just say whatever you want. You don't have to actually
what
stop it.
What are you people talking
it?
About? A hippie vegetarian spider.
What is the deal? Tell me about the Bagheera Kiplingi.
Well, you said it. Bagheera Kiplingi.
Okay.
Named after the Jungle Book.
Oh, all right.
There are 40,000 species of spiders, and some of them are deadly, some aren't, but all of them catch animals in their webs and then eat them.
Okay.
Insects, yeah.
Insects, yes. This one does not do that. This one eats trees and leaves and stuff. It's the first one that they found that doesn't...
It doesn't consume other insects?
It's a vegetarian. Isn't that odd?
For the new millennium?
It's bizarre. And by the way, not only that, but they're thieves as well. This apparently... Ants eat these type of leaves, and then what happens is these spiders steal it out of the ants' mouths. So they're breaking all the rules.
Okay.
They're too lazy to actually go eat it themselves.
They don't go find it themselves. They wait until an ant gets it and walks in front of them, and then they take it.
Oh, my gosh.
So they are hairy spiders. You are vegetarian. So they sound like hippies to us. And we asked producer Alex to line up somebody that we can talk to about this story. And I don't know if she got a spider expert for us or what, but let's see who's on the phone.
Hello.
Hello, man.
Hi.
This is Kevin and Bean Radio Show. Who's this?
This is Sunflower, man. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean still.
I forgot.
Yeah.
What do you guys want, man?
We're calling about the story about your spiders.
What do you mean? I'm a spider.
What?
I'm a hippie vegetarian spider,
no
man.
Way.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
What are the chances, man?
Spider would answer the phone.
Yeah,
how about that?
Man. How are you?
Well, we're fine, but what's that? What's going on in the background? It sounds like, are you playing a Grateful Dead record?
You got it, man. I'm just squatting at my buddy Breeze's house up in Berkeley. And we're hanging out. We're going to cruise up to Portland maybe later and go check out Fish, man.
Okay.
The band Fish?
No, some fish.
I don't know.
We're just going to sit and watch because we're compelled. Yeah, man. I got some killer falafels I cooked up, and we're just going to cruise up, man. And, you know, because we got the open road and freedom and stuff, man.
Right. Now, what's the deal? All of science is abuzz over the discovery of you and your breed because you don't eat insects. You only eat plants and leaves.
Why would we do that? Every creature deserves to live. So it's just like harmony on Earth, brother.
But out of 40,000 discovered species, you're the only one of the spiders that does not eat meat.
I'm not going to fall prey to the system, man.
How do you know about the system? You're
because
a spider.
Because it's like I've been enlightened, brother. I was at Altamont, and I saw the violence, and I said, none of that, man.
I doubt it. I doubt you were around in the 60s,
and I
though.
I steal from those ants because they're greedy corporate shills, man. And,
that's what
I'm going to do because I ain't going to be one of your victims, man.
You have a very evolved sense, considering you are A, a spider, and B, I'm even more impressed that you have a phone and that you speak English.
Listen, I just realized what life's all about. I was in Greenpeace after I got done, you know, at that Kent State protest, and I saw the mountains in Nepal, and it just made me rethink what life's all about, brother.
By the way,
I just cruise around, and I write poetry. And I sell my falafel with Breeze and my lady, tahini, and we just go around the
What's
country.
What's your lady's name?
Tahini, man.
Tahini.
You guys want to hear one of my poems, man?
Oh, more than anything.
I love a good buzz and a real crunchy groove. My lady burned her bra, so she's got big floppy boobs. A tie-dye shirt and a nice sack of weed, and my lucky hemp necklace is all that I need. Having eight arms is really, really fun, but I don't use deodorant under a single one. You can get high, but I can get higher, because I can smoke eight joints as a big hippie spider.
That's true, by the way.
Very nice.
That is true.
Ah, rad, man.
I'm impressed.
Who's snapping? Are you snapping?
I think that's Lisa, Lisa May, man. Don't your eyes work? How blazed are you, brother? I thought I was high.
F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
But not spiders.
That's right. That guy's violent, man. He needs to tune in and tune out.
Yes, he does. One or the other.
We're going to dip into the world of celebrity tweets in just a few minutes here on The Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, we want to take care of you if you're a Family Guy fan like we are. I honestly think that The Family Guy may be, along with Mad Men, my favorite show on television. I think those two are my one and two right now. The Family Guy never disappoints.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
So great. And they are hosting a special evening on Fox that is going to air, I think, on November the 8th. But they're going to be taping a bunch of stuff for it. That night, they're going to have an all Seth MacFarlane night on Fox where they're just going to play his shows. And instead of commercials, they're going to be doing comedy with Seth and Alex and the other Family Guy voices. So it sounds like a really fun night on the network. And you get a chance to be there in person to see it. If you could do an impression of one of the great characters on Family Guy, you can call right now 1-800-520-1067. Who are we looking for? Who can we draw from for these impressions, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I think pretty much all the characters. Like yesterday we did South Park. There were a few that you couldn't do with South Park just because they're too easy. Timmy's too easy and stuff like that. But Chris, the kid, Meg, the girl, Peter, the dad, Lois, the mom, Quagmire, the neighbor, Cleveland, Stewie, the kid, you know, Jasper, the old dude.
That's tons.
Creepy and gay.
Brian the dog.
Brian the dog, of course. So any of those characters are fine if you'd like to see the Family Guy live.
It seems today that you can see a taping of Family Guy, and yes, it's for free.
But how do you win those awesome tickets
to see the taping live? Impressions of the Family Guy.
Peter, Stewie, or Lois, Brian, Meg, Quagmire, now it's time for your impressions,
giddy, of Family Guy. Giddy.
Yeah. Yes. Well done. Oh.
Awesome.
All right. Let's, I guess we're just giving away one pair of tickets here, so we'll find out who is the best and that person will win. Why don't we start with Andrew? He is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Andrew. Thanks a lot for calling. You're a Family Guy fan, I hope.
Yeah.
All right. Which voice you going to do for us?
Stewie.
Stewie, okay. All right?
Hey there, Kevin and Bean. This is Stewie Griffin from The Family Guy.
Okay.
That's it?
All right. You sound younger than Stewie.
Maybe a little bit.
All right. Hold on.
I'll put you on hold. The impersonation's pretty good considering that the tone of his voice doesn't really allow him to hit it.
Right.
Perfectly. You got to take that into consideration.
I think Andrew should call us back in 10 years is what I think. But we'll put you in the running, so hang on. Let's try, why don't we try Philippe? Philippe is on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's going to try to win his way in. Philippe, with which impression?
With Quagmire.
Quagmire. Quagmire.
All right.
Okay. All right. Short but sweet.
I mean, we could tell who you were doing, so that's a plus, but thank you for the call. Let's try Steve. He's on line five. Hey, Steve. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you going to do for us?
I can do Herbert, the old man who lives next door.
Oh, the creepy old neighbor.
Crazy old neighbor.
Go ahead.
Hey there, Chris Griffin. You're looking mighty nice in them gym shorts.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good Herbert.
That is such a creepy, creepy thing. And remember when Chris said, are you a pedophile?
Yes.
That was awesome. All right, hold on.
Let's try Connor. He is on line seven. Hey, Connor. Thanks for calling in. Who are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do Cleveland.
Cleveland.
All right.
All right. Oh, that's nasty.
Okay, again, short but sweet.
Definitely has more than one line.
It's easy to do an impression if you're only doing one word.
Yeah.
But,
it was good, though.
That's his catchphrase, so what are you going to do?
All right.
Let's try George. George is on line eight. So many great characters to choose from. Again, we're playing for Family Guy Live on stage tomorrow night. Hey, George, welcome to the show.
Thanks,
guys. You know, I really like listening to your show because I like Lisa May. She's the best. She's got big boobies.
That's not a bad Chris.
It's not.
That's not bad.
And it was more than one line.
Yes, it was. Okay. All right.
Put him on hold.
Put him on hold. Everybody hold on that we get to.
Let's try Eddie on line three. I'm not sure I can place which character Eddie's talking about here.
Well, I'm the Terminators. Hey, y'all said my name. You know, I brought some cookies over, but nobody seemed to eat them. But that's okay, because I like to take them home and feed to my little cat. But that's okay. How y'all doing today?
Is that Herbert, the old perverted guy?
Well, Mike Davis does his voice also. But Herbert's more with the, hey, kids. I'd like to come over and
stay
with my little cat.
That's even better because...
Why didn't you do that one?
Because you have the whistle.
They said you guys already had Herbert. So
well, we did.
That's okay. We'll have a Herbert off.
It doesn't mean... We will have a Herbert off.
You know, I really liked Steve's Herbert, but I got to be honest, Eddie brings the whistle. That really brings it home as far as I'm concerned.
How about a duel? How about dueling Herberts?
Okay.
I'm done.
All right, hang on. Let me get Steve on the line here. What line is he on?
Steve's on line five.
Five.
All right. Steve, hi.
Hey.
All right, it's time for a Herbert off.
A Herbert off. I can do the lip, too. Nope. Hey there. Jasper, it's time to get out and make your peas and poops.
All right, now let's hear from Eddie again. Let's hear your Herbert.
I'm some lucky son, bitch. Just because, see now, you don't need to come on my house and stay with my drunk chip.
I got to give it to Eddie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Steve. We got to give it to Eddie today, dude. But thanks everybody for playing. And Eddie, have a great time at the show tomorrow night, dude.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Your impressions, Giggity of Family Guy.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, comedian and TV host Daniel Tosh will be on the program. And later on in the final hour of the show today, we're going to be looking for you if you at one time were dead. If you're dead now, we don't want to talk to you. But if you were dead and now you're alive, we want to talk to you in the final hour because that is that's a fascinating topic when that happens.
Twitter is an amazing thing, and it has taken off like wildfire. Not everyone is good at Twittering. Not everybody puts good stuff up there. Some people share too much. Some people talk too much. Some people Twitter too much. But we have some that we've picked out to highlight for you, and it's Celebrity Twitter.
It's time for
Bad Celebrity Tweets.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad Celebrity Tweets.
Let's see what kind of bullshit they're tweeting about.
Tweeting about.
Let's start with producer Alex, who joins us with the magic of Tyra Banks tweets. What's Tyra tweeting about these days, Alex?
Y'all ever notice how your pee smells funny after you eat asparagus? I still love eating it, though.
What?
Come on.
She's from LA. She's not from West Virginia.
I know, but she becomes like extra sassy black lady on her show. It's ridiculous. Hello to the entire world. What you eating today? I'm hungry. I have to read her tweets like that because you can't complain about being fat and then all you do is tweet about food.
That's a good point.
Do you think she really wants to know what everyone in the world is eating?
Nope.
I don't think she does at all. In honor of the National League Championship Series beginning this afternoon, Tommy Lasorda, Dodger legend Tommy Lasorda, tweeted recently. Mike, you've got that one.
People ask me what my favorite plate of pasta is, and I say, which of my five fingers do I like the most? Today's plate comes from Cafe Roma.
Which of my five fingers do I like the most?
See, because he likes pasta a lot.
Yeah. He also has 10 fingers, I'm assuming.
Paula Abdul has been in the news a lot lately and has been tweeting some of the important things going on in her life. Here's Lisa May with more.
I'm being Mom Abdul. Whoa. Tweet.
Did she have a stroke?
Is she also deaf, Marley
She's
Madeline?
Deaf as well.
Whoa. How do you do drunk? Right, I got to do drunk. Take two. Ready? Right.
Just be Kevin.
How dare you?
Just got a Minx manicure. They're so cool. Check it out. The imagination exercises a powerful influence over every act of sense, thought, reason, and idea.
Wow.
That's Paula Abdul, ladies and gentlemen. Bessie Moo got stung by a bee. I think she might be allergic.
Oh, Bessie Moo.
Poor Bessie Moo.
I'm saying it so.
Wow.
There you go.
I've, I've got a couple from the great Larry King, CNN talk show personality, who has confessed on his show, by the way, that he doesn't do the actual typing. He has a guy that he dictates to who then translates his tweets. So here's a couple of what Larry King has said, and bearing in mind, I don't do voices. Tomorrow's just a future yesterday, says Larry King.
Really? Really? That fake, like, positive mental thinking BS?
I hate that. It's on a poster with the waterfall in
yes.
the doctor's office.
Life goes on until it doesn't. And here's my favorite from Larry King. I got a fortune cookie that read, "Don't believe what you read in fortune cookies." Now what do I do?
Oh, dear.
You know for a fact that he laughed about that one for an hour. He's so proud of it. Oh, that was a good one. Let's go out of the realm of celebrities for a little bit and make fun of each other, if you don't mind.
Okay, nice.
Because a lot of people on this show tweet and maybe shouldn't. Here's Beans. Sorry, Aretha. He starts with a direct tweet to, I'm guessing, Aretha Franklin, who I'm sure is on Twitter. Mary J. Blige is truly the queen of soul and has been for a long time.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Wow.
I was watching the Hip Hop Otters the other night, and Mary J. came out and just slayed it. And I thought, you know what? She's the queen of soul now. It's not Aretha anymore.
And this is the first time I've seen this, and I reject it totally. You don't tease people and then hold them over for the answer later. Can you turn that music down a little?
No, turn it up.
Sure.
Let's rock out.
I'm at Denny's this morning. My waitress's name was Daisy. D-A-I-S-Y. Well, that's how I would have spelled it. But guess how she did? Answer in 10.
Are you kidding?
So Bean is now teasing the waitress at his Denny, how she spelled her name.
People barely care as it is.
And then you do that? Venus, the nightly news. What new drug will kill you? Come back next.
Answer in 10. That's BS.
Boo. He's so happy with himself, too.
Yes, he is.
People like to play along. They like to have the opportunity to guess. And by the way, that waitress spelled her name
don't
Daisy.
Don't care.
D-E-Y-S-I.
Still don't care.
That's ridiculous. Worth tweeting about, as far as I'm concerned.
But not back
but
in
not
10.
But give answer in 10. No.
Let's speaking of the Kevin and Bean show, Dave the King of Mexico was one of the early tweeters on our program, and certainly one of the most prolific. Psycho Mike now will reenact Dave's tweets.
I just got into my car, and it looks like the sky pooed on it. Trying to watch Dexter, but the fear won't let me.
Oh, I don't need to ever hear about Dave's ass. Come on.
Driving home on the 101 on a gloomy afternoon, listening to Paramore's Brand New Eyes again. Rad. Can't wait for November 11th.
Oh, wait. Tweeting while driving? Thanks, Dave.
No, please.
I hope your windshield wipers aren't on either.
He tweets constantly while driving.
Yes.
Constantly.
And by the way, Mike loves making fun of Dave's tweets, but I believe, Kevin, you've got some of Mike's tweets, and he might be a good one to end on, because he's, a perfect example of someone who maybe shouldn't tweet so much.
Well, we don't need to know everything. I know Twitter is supposed to be about what you're doing right now. I get that. I get you get to share with your friends, but you don't need to share every part of your life with your friends. For example, Psycho Mike tweets, I'm such a good pooper.
What are you, 5?
I really am.
But don't you just poop or not poop?
No.
How are you good or bad?
No, because...
How are you bad?
Volume.
Oh,
okay, but
my.
It's not a competition, Mike.
Yeah, it is for Mike.
And finally, Psycho Mike tweets, and I'm going to hit him in the face for this. Made it home. Now I'm having a picnic with my dogs. F you in advance for making fun of me. He's having
well,
a
he had
picnic.
Some forts, huh?
With his dogs.
Yeah.
That's Mike.
Picnic.
Such a lonely man, Mike.
With his dogs.
I know.
That's pathetic.
They like matzah.
Don't care. I don't care what your dogs like to eat. I'd like to eat your dogs. What do you think of that?
Lola can't have too much salt compared to the other dogs.
Yeah.
You got to keep her sodium.
See,
lower.
Here's the thing. Not everything about you is interesting. And all I'm right? saying that to everyone. So stop it.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. Our friend Petroth Papadakis will come in to talk all things sports in the next hour. Right now, though, very special guest. We haven't seen in studio for a while. Token black listener of the Kevin and Bean Show, our friend Anel Rivers, has joined us. Hey, Anel.
Hey, people. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm glad you're here. Ralph is on vacation, as you know, and Kevin and I have been muddling through the showbiz beat all week. We're frankly not good at it, so we thought, hey, let's give some other people a shot, and you were, of course, one of the first names that came to mind, so you're going to host for us this hour.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That was a terrible decision. I'll make sure that you regret it.
Okay.
Now, first of all, you know, I got to lay my ground rules, you know. I don't do a showbiz beat, okay?
Okay.
I do me a showbiz busy. Okay, so what that means is,
all right, busy.
I'm not with the cameras, man.
Well, you don't need this?
I don't know what to do. It makes me nervous, you know what I'm saying? Takes me back
nope.
to my... I don't do that. It takes
right.
me back to my days as on the soap as a child.
Sure.
So what I need from you guys basically is, you know, I need my girl Holla. So, you know, if you guys could go ahead and make sure that happens
for
me.
Oh, absolutely.
I would greatly appreciate that. It kind of sets the mood for my whole thing that I do.
So in between every story, Lisa is going to say.
Haven't we not been over this before?
Check out the machine.
I don't remember.
You know,
well, hang on, we're looking for it.
It's okay, you know, because I would just like to go on ahead and give my dissertation here on the way I feel about the current state of the dollar in the economy.
Yeah.
I'm feeling right now that the way that the euro is beginning to impact its structure on the overall basis of the economic plane of America is beginning to have an adverse effect on my ability to buy drugs.
What?
Yeah. I mean, you guys have
no
idea.
Now it's getting serious. Then.
Yeah. You guys have no idea. I mean, there was a time when a dime of weed cost a dime. And, you know, now I'm coming out of pocket $65 a pop.
That's
and
not
it's,
right.
It's just getting difficult for me. You know, the kids having to use generic Pampers.
It's really hurting you where you live, isn't it?
It's starting to hit home.
I understand.
I just wanted to kind of go over that real quick.
Okay.
While Mike searches for you.
Tell me when. We're ready.
Okay.
So this is Anel's showbiz busy. And this is the sound effect.
Girl, yeah. Holla!
All right,
first, there we go. Now I'm feeling the love. Okay, up, we got my girl Leona Lewis. I don't know if you guys heard what happened the other day, but Leona Lewis got punched in the face by a fan. It's not a good thing, man.
No.
Look, I didn't like X Factor either. You know what I'm saying? Personally, I thought it was a little bit of an overblown show. But
was there a big argument or something?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this guy lined up. I guess they were in Piccadilly there in London. Mm-hmm. And a guy lined up and I guess asked for an autograph. And decided to slap and go ahead and punch her in the eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to ask if anyone knows if she was bleeding love.
Oh.
You didn't have to.
You went there.
Going to hell.
Don't applaud. No, you can't play the applause for
that
yourself.
Amazing.
Put that in the file.
Look at the smile on his face.
So much from this man. I swear. He's a guru. I don't know. The rumors say that he was quoted as saying that she has teeth that are too nice for a Brit. So, you know, he had to go ahead and punch her in the grill so she looks like the rest of the mule faces running around that island. So that's story number one.
Girl, holla!
Next up, I got one right up your alley, Bean, for a woman that you love. Did you hear that Tyra Banks topped Forbes' top earning list for television primetime earners at $30 million?
Yeah.
In 1 year?
Baby, $30 million last year.
Yeah, Tyra's bank account now matches her forehead because that thing is just coming out of her pocket. I cannot believe that. $30 million?
Wow.
I will say, not to defend Tyra, but there were a lot of people who laughed when this model said she was going to do television, host television programs. And she has been phenomenally successful with both America's Next Top Model, which is on something like its 10th go-round, and her daytime talk show, which is a huge hit.
Right, but let's not mistake that for good.
She certainly has been successful.
Hold on now. I'm just saying that I like America's Next Top Model, and I think that every black man in the Cadillac with a perm would agree that it is a parade of women that will one day end up on Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
So it's like a shopping list. You can check out season two, and you go, you know, I think she would look good in pink. So next up.
Girl, holla!
All right, here's one from my person. This one is the one that hits home for me, okay? I don't know if you guys have heard, but the rumor is that Vanessa Bryant, okay, Kobe's wife, Mrs. Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Okay, may in fact be added to the list of the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Uh-oh.
What?
Yes. No.
Okay, that's the rumor going out. Now, check this out. Look, check this out. I got a little bone to pick here with the makers over there of Real Housewives, okay? What is real about being the wife of a mega millionaire?
That is a good question.
Okay, now look, check this out. This is coming from a married man, okay?
Okay.
I'm a married man.
Right.
With a house.
Right.
And with the wife.
Correct.
And kids.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And Vanessa Bryant is not a real housewife. Okay. Let me tell you what a real housewife is. Okay. A real housewife
wears sweatpants and granny panties and gains weight like a newborn. Okay? That is a real housewife. Okay? Real housewives, all right, they cook and clean. Yeah. And then when you come home, they turn around and bitch about cooking and cleaning. That is a real housewife, but they won't let you get a hot Latina, you know, housekeeper.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid that she's going to move it on her territory.
Wow.
The one that she doesn't like cooking and cleaning.
So you're saying Mrs. Kobe Bryant doesn't do anything?
I'm saying that Mrs. Kobe Bryant is as far away from a real housewife as I am. Okay?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that, you know, the people of TLC, seriously, you can suck it. Okay? All right. That's from the heart.
All right.
Girl, and holla!
And it's pretty obvious from that story, by the way, that this radio station doesn't come in at your house, Adele, because there's no way you'd be saying that on the air if your wife might be listening.
Hey, man, my pimp hand is strong. You know what I'm saying? I handle mine, all right. I don't know what you got going up there on the island. You know what I'm saying? My wife don't got no Facebook page, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't go for that. You know?
Do you need us to do celebrity birthdays, or do you have those, Adele?
No, I got me some celebrity birthdays, man. Right, okay, what I got here, I got Penny Marshall. You know, my girl Laverne,
right.
She's 67. You know, she's a big NBA fan.
She's another one of those that seems like she's been 67 since I was born.
Yeah,
she's been old.
She's looked that way forever. Since you were born.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I mean, from my vantage point, I mean, she still looks like she still be wearing that little L in her chest because she doesn't look right without Squeaky and Lenny running in her apartment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've never been able to get over that. Sarah Ferguson, okay, the Duchess, the real Fergie.
Right.
Okay,
sure.
Not the
Black
one. No.
All right.
No.
Not that one.
The Weight Watchers Fergie.
Yeah, the real Fergie. The one that doesn't pee pee in her pants.
Okay,
stage.
All right.
Okay, she's 50 years old. Okay. So I had you happy birthday to Fergie. My man Eric Benet, the sex addict, the man that had the golden chalice.
Yeah,
and decided he didn't want to drink out of it no more.
Yeah,
yeah. Eric, more power to you, homeboy. I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, keep doing it. He's 43 years old. And, you know, my man, Ginuwine. That's right. Mr. Pony himself.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, here's a little thing. Did you know Ginuwine's real name, man?
No.
He has a worse name than me.
Irving?
No, even worse than Irving. His name is Elgin.
Elgin?
Elgin Lumpkin.
Oh,
Lumpkin.
No.
Lumpkin. Yes.
Really?
You would almost have to grow up to be a sexy man with a name like Elgin Lumpkin, or you will spend the rest of your life a virgin.
That's true.
Okay. And, you know, my girl, Keisha Cole. Cole. Yeah. She's 28 years old. You know, the new front teeth, she got her too. and last up, Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men. She's 27 years old. Kevin, have you gotten into the Mad Men yet?
Yeah, I got halfway through the first episode.
Man, let me tell you something. That is a great show, man. I wish I could have grown up in the 50s, okay? This is the time when women knew to shut the F up and change our ashtrays. All right? Now, aside from me not being able to drink out of the same water fountain as you, I think it was a great time in America. Okay?
You know?
You might want to keep that in mind.
I'm just saying, I think having an old bathroom would be a nice thing, personally. I mean, I'd have to go through that, but I just like a black bathroom.
Dude, you would have been running the elevator in that office.
That's okay. You know, I get to look at the back of white women all day long.
Oh, man.
And get
that's
paid true. For it.
He'd be working the elevator, but when he got home, his wife would shut the F up.
That's right. Change my ass track.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Adele Rivers, Kevin Beat, nice Token Blacklister, Philadelphia Showbiz Beat. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Girl, holla.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Comedian and Comedy Central TV host Daniel Tosh joins us in 1 hour here on the Kevin Mead Show. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, our friend Petros Papadakis is here with us.
Hey,
P, how are you, man?
Hey, now. What's popping, guys? What's cracking? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I have many things I want to talk about because you are one of the world's foremost sporting authorities.
That's
and
right.
We don't have, in case you haven't noticed, we still don't have a sports guy on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, I find that interesting that you guys have still not been able to fill the giant chasm that my partner, Matt Money Smith, left here. It seems like, 4 years ago?
We had to make a
somebody went to high school and graduated.
We had to make a decision because the King of Mexico was working 7,000 hours a week, and we decided to give him another, $5 a week. And so now we can't hire a sports guy. So
it's a money thing. That's why we don't have a sports guy.
You guys are blaming the Mexican?
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough on Dave, the King of Mexico, back
there. It is,
there.
But here's the question
I wanted to ask
you. I'm here to help. Hold you on. Just look at, you know, usually I come in here and it's like, oh, what wacky happened to Petros today? I mean, did Petros have diarrhea this morning? Or Petros has eczema on his neck? Or
what's wrong with that.
Petros? Petros' wife hates him. But today, no. Straight up sports,
actual sports,
firing awesome sports opinions, hot sports topics for the people of the city, the CU Dot. Here it comes. Come on.
For those of you that don't
question one,
know Petros, he of course was a running back for USC.
Yeah,
in their worst season ever. And
well,
he was the captain.
Not just that season, but a couple other mediocre seasons as well.
Yeah.
Fight on, everybody. So, fight on for old
college
SC.
College football is his specialty, I would say.
I am a college football analyst, in fact, Kevin. And not only am I a college football analyst, but I'm a working college football analyst. I'll be flying to Phoenix, Arizona tonight, your old hometown, where the people are leathery and desert-like, and they smoke cigarettes, and they enjoy water sports and Coors Light. And I'll be doing the Arizona State-Washington game on Saturday on Fox Sportsnet. Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. Washington has the most talented player in the conference, in the Pac-10 conference. Yeah, Jake Locker. Bean knows the guy. He comes over and hangs out with Bean every other week.
Sure.
They have a very impressive new head coach as well.
Yeah, Steve, the Armenian Sarkisian.
Glendale!
But he is from West Torrance, turns out.
Oh,
and your boy, the old P, when I was a gangly young safety at Peninsula High School, I picked off Sarkisian when he was a wacky Armenian quarterback.
I poked his ass off.
You know, just in that one game.
All right.
Yeah.
How about that?
I baited him. I baited him with my gangly looks and my sharp nose. And he threw it up there, and I snatched it out of the sky. And I remind him every time I see him. And don't think I'm not going to talk about it on the broadcast.
Sure. I'm sure you are. Who's the best college football team going right now?
Florida.
Yeah. Florida. Again.
Yeah.
Still.
It's Florida because they have Jesus. Jesus walks. There's this guy named Tim Tebow, and he plays for Florida, and he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, I think, again this year.
Is that the guy that got a concussion a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, he did, but he's fine. I mean, they overcovered that whole thing. I mean, everybody has a concussion in college football. It's just when you saw that one and he's throwing up on the sideline, everybody gets all weird about it.
Well, he's also the best player in the country.
I think so, yeah, and he's a transcendent player. I mean, it's hard to say this guy's the best because football's very circumstantial, and you got a whole bunch of players out there, and it means a lot to play on a team as opposed to being an individual. One guy doesn't change a football team. But Tim Tebow is a guy that circumcises children in the offseason.
Like, is that right?
Yeah, he moves boulders in Cambodia. He was a missionary. He's born in the Philippines to missionaries. He's really an interesting cat. I mean, he's a weird dude. And he's a special player. I mean, he's a real tough player, but he's got finesse, and he can throw the ball with touch, but he can also run the ball like a fullback. I mean, he's beautiful to watch. And he's really up there with all the legends that ever played college football, like Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside. I mean, he's gone there. I mean, this guy's going to win another Heisman. No one's done that except for the guy at Ohio State, Archie Griffiths. So they're the best team in the country, and they have the most transcendent player in the country.
Okay, one more college football question, then I got to change
topics.
Don't
you want to do SC Notre Dame?
That's my question, how much of a factor is USC going to be at the end of this season as spotty as they have been this year?
Well, they've only lost the one game. And, one lost team from the Pac-10 can go to the BCS championship game. I mean, they can. They have to win out, and they have to play better offensively.
Can they win out?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think the spottiness, I don't think they will, but I think they can. The spottiness you're referring to, I think, is just a lack of offensive identity because they're starting a true freshman quarterback. So, you know, it's kind of like if Dave the King of Mexico was doing sports. You know, it's a new deal. So they got to find some time for the guy to kind of become comfortable and stretch his legs out. But USC's very good on defense. You know, they are the best team in the modern football era, the best coach in the modern football era. I mean, what they've done is amazing, and they still have a shot. And going back to Notre Dame is just, this is going to be a good game. This is the closest Notre Dame has been, and the Charlie Weiss is a big, big old coach they have over there. This is the closest they've been to USC talent-wise. I mean, they have a shot to kind of run with SC, but I don't think they will. But it's a great, wonderful game to watch. I suggest everybody watch that game on NBC on Saturday because there's something about the sky and the Midwest. There's something about that stadium, that Golden Dome, that touchdown Jesus, the sidelines strewn with men of the cloth, you know, guys running around in kilts. I mean, they had a black little leprechaun guy when I was playing. And our guys on our team were like, why is the leprechaun black? You know, they're freaking out. But this year, I don't know if the leprechaun's black or white. But it's a special rivalry game. I got to play in it. And you know me, I'm very irreverent about football and sports and all these different things. But even the old P was welling up in the tunnel back in 1997 when I took the field at Notre Dame. It's a special place.
Let me ask you one pro football question before we take the break. Then when we come back, we want to talk about baseball and some other stuff.
I can do that as well. You know, the McCourts are separated. Yeah. You know, that's
I understand that. We'll get to that. But here's my question for you because we haven't had a chance to talk about this on our show much.
Sports analysis I'm spitting out, Bean.
I know.
Isn't it freaking out, man?
has Rush Limbaugh managed to play the entire nation to look good with his attempt that probably wasn't serious to begin with by the Rams, and now he can play a victim for the next 5 years because they had to drop him?
No, it was serious. I think it was a serious attempt because the group he was with, you know, already owns a sports team, and these are people that know what they're doing. Now, Rush wins no matter what in this situation. Rush Limbaugh wins. Now, I don't know how you feel about Rush Limbaugh. You guys make fun of him and stuff.
Sure.
He is a pretty smart man.
He's a blowhard, though.
Yeah, of course he is. I mean, he's an entertainer. That's what I look at him like. I don't do political ideology either, but Rush Limbaugh is one of the smartest people in the history of our industry, in the radio industry. He's not stupid.
And
listen
to this quote, Petros. Now, for folks who haven't been following the story, he was part of a group of investors, including the guy you mentioned who owns what? The St. Louis Blues, the hockey franchise there. And there's been so much controversy. Some players said they wouldn't play for him, and the commissioner of the NFL said he didn't think Rush would be a good owner, and blah, blah, blah. So Rush has basically withdrawn his name. Listen to the quote that he released last night. This is not about me. It's about the ongoing effort by the left in this country, wherever you find them, in the media, the Democratic Party, or wherever, to destroy conservatism and to prevent the mainstreaming of anyone who is prominent as a conservative. Well, so he's turning it into something that just makes him look great and fires up his base.
He wins no matter what. I mean, he wins in this situation no matter what. The one thing I'm looking at in this situation is this. First of all, the NFL's a private club. It's a giant boys club. And if you're cool, you're in. If you're not, you're not in. And he's not cool, he's not getting in. And, you know, that's how they'll look at it. And they have the right to do that. There's no question about it. And I thought what Rush Limbaugh said in the ESPN job that he had about Donovan McNabb was not only wrong, but it was dated and it was stupid. And it just sounded football stupid. It just wasn't right.
Right.
And
if
you want to hold that against him, I think that's perfectly valid. A lot of the other stuff, you know, I just don't buy. But in this situation with Rush Limbaugh and the way that it's played out, I mean, you look at Michael Vick, this guy was drowning dogs, and he gets a second chance. You know, I mean, really? That guy can get a second chance, and everybody's going to fight for this guy. But, you know, Rush Limbaugh, because he's not, you know, because he's not cool, is kind of castigated, which is fair and fine, whatever. That's how it works out, and public opinion is going to drive this thing. And he wins no matter what. But I do think that there are certain elements of hypocrisy involved. You know, there's a lot of people that own sports teams that have said and done things. Al Davis, Donald Sterling, you guys have gone after
Sterling,
over there. I mean, they have said and done things that are absolutely objectionable, much more objectionable than some sensationalistic radio talk show host.
Do you believe the players that say they wouldn't have gone to play for him if he had
other
teams? I don't either.
They all play. They all play for pig, white, fat, old conservatives. So get used to it and enjoy it.
Exactly. All right. We'll talk about the playoffs, of course.
How about this sports analysis, though?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You're good, Petros, if that's what you want us to say.
What do you think? That's right, Bean. That's right.
Angels, Yankees starts tomorrow. Dodgers, Philly starts tonight. We'll cover that and more with our friend Petros Papadakis when we return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Producer Alex and Miss Cleo, they are the girls of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Petra's just watching our interns rap.
Kevin and Bean.
That is the voice of syndicated sports personality Petros Papadakis.
Oh, thanks a lot. More sports highlights headed your way after the
Petros.
Break. Yes.
What are the chances? I know Fox is delighted that there are four big cities left in the playoffs for the World Series.
Anaheim
is
not a big city.
They're a big market, though, for television.
No,
yes, they are.
No.
Are you kidding me? Angels game isn't going to draw big numbers?
You. They would much rather have the Dodgers.
I'm sure they will, but I'm saying they don't have a Milwaukee this year.
Dude,
I'm just saying they're pretty happy.
Really, in all honesty, the Angels are kind of like the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, that's the market.
I don't believe it.
I'm just telling you. I love the Angels. I know that's not true. I think that they have the best manager in baseball. I think they have one of the best owners in baseball. But I think the Major League Baseball brass views the Angels as they would a small market team.
And that's why they renamed them the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, try to get around that.
I think they're trying to really embrace the Latino community, you know, because they want to be, they have a Latino owner. They want to be big in Central America, South America, and nobody knows where Anaheim is, you know, that lives in Bolivia. You know, you got Los Angeles, you know, so
true.
Who
do you like in each of the remaining series?
You know, I want to say the Yoyers. I want to say Yoyer. I love you, Yoyer. But I don't know, you know. The Dodgers have these pitchers that have never pitched in the postseason before this year. They're going to start this young kid. He's 21 years old. Clayton Kershaw. Then this other guy, Vicente. He is a young gentleman. He is. Then this other guy, Vicente Padilla, who's like a complete cancer on the last team he was with, and they absolutely hated him, and now he's balling. I mean, the Dodgers is really an unknown kind of deal for the Dodgers in this series. But, I mean, they can do it, and so can the Angels. It's just baseball is so weird because it's this long, horrible, arduous, grinding, boring, pride-swallowing siege of a season with a bunch of dudes that are Latino that don't speak English and a bunch of chap-ass white dudes from Texas watching soap operas all day,
right,
waiting to go play. And then when it gets to the end of the season, it comes down to this, you know, one pitcher having one good outing, and you can move on. So it's a crazy deal. The craziest deal to me is that the McCourts, the people that own the Dodgers, Frank and Jamie McCourt, have announced now, or the story broke, that they're separating. So this is really bad. I mean, this is...
What does it
this
mean?
Is going to be ugly. Well, what it means, first of all, is that these people are really selfish. I mean, to
right.
do that, look, to be...
You can't wait 2 weeks?
Well, not only that, but, you know, if you're the head coach at a big-time college football program, like Michigan or something, or if you're a owner of a big baseball, and the Dodgers are one of the top five franchises in all of sports, along with the Lakers and the Yankees and then the St. Louis Cardinals and people of Dallas Cowboys, you know, teams like that. That's what the Dodgers are. And if you own that, you're like a figurehead. You're like the president. I mean, what if Barack Obama said, yeah, we're going to get separated? I mean, you just can't do that because you have all these people depending on your stability as a couple. You know, even if a college football coach doesn't like his wife, you still have to be married because you have to do the recruiting thing. And nobody's going to send their kid to some single dude that's going to hit on their wife and daughter.
All right, but let me interrupt you for 1 second, Pedras.
How much of a difference does this make in the dugout? And by asking do the McCourts interact with the players at all, or is it not going to make that much of a difference to them?
I don't think it'll make a difference in the playing of this thing, but it certainly is a distraction because everybody's going to ask about it because it certainly puts the future of the franchise in jeopardy. This is selfish, and this is a Bush League move. I mean, this is like, you don't know any better. You can't put him in the maid's quarters and have him sleep there with his new mistress or whatever the hell's going on. I mean, who knows what's going on between them?
You can hide it for another couple of weeks until
how about hide it for the rest of your lives so you can continue to own the team? Because if they get a divorce, there's no way they're going to be able to keep the team. They're going to have to sell it. And then everything goes into upheaval again. What do you do with Joe Torre? What do you do with Ned Coletti, the GM? What do you do with Manny Ramirez? What do you do with Andre Ethier, you know, this big upstart player that you want to keep? I mean, it just puts everything into question. It's the worst timing in the history of the world for this to come out, and it makes these people look selfish, stupid.
How did the news break?
Uninformed. Ken Rosenthal broke it from FoxSports.com. He's a baseball writer, so he broke it. And there was rumors, I guess, before that. Hey, look, I don't care if they lead separate lives, but you've got to find a way to make it work. You've got to find a way to make it work.
Stay together for the kids. That's what you're saying.
Ciudad. Yeah, the kids are the people in East L.A., the people that love you.
But at least he wasn't dumb enough to put her into the day-to-day operations of the team.
Oh, no, she's just the CEO. You know, she wants her pound of flesh and her dignity here, Kevin. Now, this is going to be a bad scene.
I think she's claiming the infielders.
No, I'm not.
And then he gets the outfielders and the relievers.
I'm going to split them up like that.
Petros, I, like most right-thinking Americans, hate the Yankees and really don't care who wins as long as it's not the Yankees.
The Kate Hudson thing? It makes it even that much worse. It makes you feel like you're watching how to lose a guy in 10 days. It just makes me sick.
But here's what I'm going to say to you.
Oh, I'm so
angry. It has been clear the last few months that the Yankees are on fire. I mean, I can't remember a team that has been as hot as the Yankees have been for so long. I mean, they haven't hit a slump in months.
But what did Springsteen say? What did Springsteen say, Bean?
Tell me, Pete.
Have a little faith. There's magic in the night. Come on! You got Mike
they
Socha.
Still fall apart?
Hey, don't. Look, Mike Socha drives his ass from Westlake to Anaheim every day. That is a man who is dedicated. He gets in his Prius or whatever the hell he drives. It looks like one of those guys in that old cartoon Mask. He drives down the 5 all the way to Anaheim every single day, and he is, without a doubt, the best manager in baseball history. Well,
and a great
one
human,
of the greats.
Too.
He's one of the great, and a great, fantastic guy. And the Angels, you know, they lost that pitcher, Nick Adenhart, to that tragic car accident early in the year. They've been playing, you know, with a heavy heart all year. The way he's brought that team together in the grind of baseball in the face of that tragedy has really been extraordinary. And if there's somebody to root for in baseball, it's the Angels. I mean, it's the Serafinas every time.
All right.
And
very
Disney
good.
Arm, and if they win it all, we don't have to watch John Travolta chest bumping Michael Eisner and, you know, all that Gene Autry talk. We got Artie Moreno, baby. Which is, he lowered the price of beer. Cerveza for everybody. Tecate for you. Negro Modelo for you.
All right. So you have to pick Angels, Yankees. You're going with Angels?
I'm gonna, you know what? Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to win, but I'm going to take the Santa Finis for the people of the city to see the.
And Dodgers, Philly.
Dodgers.
Yeah.
Right. So you're calling a freeway series now.
Yeah, no one's going to care. That's going to be the worst part about it. Because they're all going to be watching me talk college football.
Sure.
That's what
happen.
People want.
I know. That's true.
Petros is going to be calling the Huskies versus Arizona State. Hey. That's going to be on Saturday afternoon. So definitely check that out. And you can hear P every weekday afternoon across this great country with our friend Matt Money Smith doing the Deportes.
The best Petros? Of the best. Matt's beard is so full and lively. And Matt's doing a great job calling games.
Matt
this
looks
year.
Like he's in the Fleet Foxes now. I couldn't believe it when I saw the other day.
Yeah, it's got a real crunchy groove going on, brother.
Thanks for coming in, Pete. We love you, man.
God bless you guys, and go Doyers.
Thank you, Pete.
That's the latest from Pearl Jam, by the way. That's called Just Breathe on the Kevin and Bean Show from their new album called Backspacer. Lisa May hit it right on the head yesterday. She said every time she hears that song, she feels like she needs to re-rent Into the Wild.
I know.
It does sound like it came right out of the soundtrack. All right. Daniel Tosh joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, your Afro calls, 323-520-AFRO. I contend we do have some of the funniest and smartest listeners in the world, and we love it when you call and leave messages for us to play back on the air.
Every Halloween, Bean insists on playing a terrible, terrible, awful song called Halloween Spooks, which I hate, and he loves. And I think he loves partially because I hate, but this listener has a concern none of us thought about.
Hey, so I was listening to the Halloween Spooks song, and I just realized that one of the lyrics is, they can't find the children. I mean, does anyone care? Children are missing, and you guys endlessly play that song and don't put out any kind of ATV or anything for those fucking children.
I'm going to have to listen to those lyrics again. I don't think I ever noticed that kids are missing in the song.
National League Championship tonight.
Dodgers!
Hey, second mic there. You got second mic in the room?
Yeah.
They got to do a better job of throwing out the first pitch celebrities than freaking George Lopez and some of the other ones they've had leading up to this series.
Don't even start me with the throwing out of the first pitch. It's like my own personal Vietnam all over again.
Wow.
That's a whole nother rant.
All right, we'll have
doesn't it seem like, I don't know, the Dodgers are a franchise with such a history. You bring Oral Hershiser or somebody like that out. So, you know, Fernando Valenzuela. You bring some legendary classic Dodger guy to kind of put some good mojo, a big winner from the Dodgers past, put some mojo on the current team. Get that guy out there throwing out the first pitch. Not freaking George Lopez, right?
You mix and match Dodger legends with bona fide A-listers who are also Dodger stars. They could easily do, like you said, one night Hershiser, next night Sean Penn. Next night Valenzuela, next night Tom Hanks. Everybody's fine. And, by the way, all the aforementioned people could throw from the mound. Not like the Kardashian sisters who throw from 6 feet away and still miss the catcher.
Yeah,
it definitely.
We got to work on that.
This dude is very conflicted and wants to know what to do.
So I was watching Melrose Place right now, and Ashley Simpson just unbuttoned her shirt. And it was pretty damn hot. Am I wrong?
That's a tough one, because you got to respect her boobs, yet she's Ashley Simpson, because if you lust after those, you're lusting after that. I understand the quandary you're in, my friend. I wish I had better advice for you.
This dude has a bad phone, but he doesn't let that stop him.
Static. Phone line sucks. Can't call the Afro line to leave a clear message because of the static. Static on my phone line. Can't hear. My butt burns.
I don't know if that's what he was calling to say or it was just a tacked it on to the end. I don't know.
Hard to say.
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. I'm watching traffic on Channel 7 and there's this chick that comes out with the world's biggest. Oh, man.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. She's awesome. Aisha Del Rey or whatever her name is, she's a good deal right there.
Everybody wants to join Melfon. Ralph's out this week, so we are looking for a drummer.
Please say Miss Cleo is going to be playing the drums on Friday with her boots.
I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to the audition next hour. She wants to be the new drummer for Melfon tomorrow. And with Cleo, she could get a little Meg White going on. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, you ever watch Meg play the drums?
Sure.
Should be like that with Cleo, too.
Mm-hmm.
Florida Panthers, now that hockey is back, they have an announcer who every time he announces he shoots, he scores, he adds like a movie line or something to it. So we have our listeners that call and parody that.
He shoots, he scores. Big boob,
Brianna shoots. She scores. Did you hit that?
Yeah, that happened yesterday.
That
happened yesterday.
I felt pretty bad about that one, too.
Jessica Straup was in the studio. She was hanging out with Rihanna. Bean said, did you hit that? He meant have sex with her.
Yes.
Right, because Rihanna's so hot. In my mind, she's past being the tragic victim of abuse from a few months ago. Now she's just back to being a mega hot celebrity. So I was just thinking, hey, did you hook up with Rihanna? But then
you
everybody took it
as up with Rihanna, though.
Right, I should have. But everybody now thinks that I was making some sort of domestic abuse joke, which I clearly was not. But I was tagged being the interview killer as a result of the question.
Hey, Bean, maybe for your next interview with Sharon Osbourne, you should ask her if she and David Hasselhoff go out for drinks afterwards, asshole.
That's a good point.
Oh, sorry. My God, it's raining. It's raining in L.A. No! No! Wait a minute. I'll get a haircut in the rain in all 50 states.
That's a good point.
A good idea,
point.
Sir.
That's a great idea.
Hey, Lisa, there is a term for older men going after young chicks. They're sugar daddies. So, shut the f*** up.
Okay.
And finally.
Hey, I tell you, this is Bob Hope calling, you know. Yeah, I heard they were talking about putting women on submarines now. Yeah, it's going to be called the f*** for Red October. What's that?
Oh,
see, because
really?
The movie is... Ouch. Is the hunt?
Yeah.
Wow.
For Red October.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know what
you're telling
referring
me
to.
That yeah. Bob Hope made the effort to make a call from heaven for that joke.
Yes. He called 323-520-AFRO, and I for one, I'm glad he.
Comedian Daniel Tosh joins us in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His Tosh.0 is a great, great show that is on Comedy Central on Thursday nights, and he did a feature recently on The World's Shortest Man. Have you seen the video of this?
No,
dude?
I haven't.
World's Shortest Man. He's 2 feet tall. It's unbelievable.
That's the best. Wow.
But he's the only guy we know who spends more time on the internet than we do. So we're very excited about Mr. Tosh joining us in just a few minutes. First, though, Rob is on vacation. We are in with the Showbiz Beat. Kevin, you've got a story about one of my girlfriends to lead off the report this hour.
Tina Fey.
Yes.
Who Bean loves, was on Letterman last night. And he was reading, I don't know, Us Weekly or People or one of those magazines. He was talking about people who stayed virgins until older in life.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Older for most people is, you know, 25.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine in this America in which we live with current social mores that most people lose their virginity before they're 20, right?
I would guess most people.
What do you think most people do? So I mean, when you find somebody, even if they're into their, you know, early to mid-20s, that's still a kind of a rarity.
And religion is a main part of that. And I don't think she, as far as I know, I don't think she's religious.
Mm-mm.
So she was telling Dave, and they were having a conversation about why she was a virgin until she was 24 years old.
Virgins into their 20s.
Yeah.
And it says here various...
old virgins.
Adriana Lima.
Yeah.
Chris Martin, 22 years old. Brooke Shields, 22 years old.
All the other people, like, that was a choice.
But now, wait a minute. It says here, you, Tina Fey,
yes.
20...
We don't have to read that.
Okay. 24
for
years.
Sure.
24. Well, there's nothing wrong with that,
no.
Is there? Yeah. and...
Couldn't give it away.
Couldn't give it away, she said.
That's funny.
I love her so much. That hurts me to hear that she spent one day without love. You know what I mean? Because she's the best.
Yeah, but I don't know that you're the one to provide that. So.
God, well, no. Maybe that would have wrecked her forever.
And by the way, guys, do we believe that Adriana Lima, supermodel Adriana Lima, was 27 when she lost her virginity? Because as hot as she is, it seemed like at some point in her life, somebody would have yelled surprise, right?
Those of you... Wow, why do you have to be bad? Those of you that don't recognize the name, she's one of the biggest Victoria's Secret models ever. And by big, I mean hot.
Right.
And successful.
Popular.
And
yeah.
She still to this day claims 27, right?
Wasn't she waiting until she got married?
I think so.
Is she married now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she is, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Keanu Reeves in the news. This is a fascinating story. You don't often get the follow-up on this, but every once in a while, you know, somebody will come out of the woodwork and go, hey, that famous person fathered my child. And this woman in Canada claimed that Keanu Reeves impregnated her, and she was suing him for, check this out, she was suing him for $150,000 in monthly child support payments.
Wow.
Retroactive to 1988, which is when she says that they hooked up. She also was asking for $3 million in retroactive spousal support. Even though, obviously, they were never married. In fact, Keanu Reeves claims that he has never even met this woman. He claims she's making the whole thing up. Now, It's possible, I guess, if you're a famous star like Keanu Reeves, and I don't know much about his personal life, but, you know, there could have been a few women along the way that he didn't perhaps remember. But in this case, he said, yeah, I'll submit to a DNA test. And he did, and it turned out that he was not the father of the child.
How about that?
The woman, by the way, is now, her name is Karen Sala. Again, as I mentioned, she's Canadian. She says, her attorney says she is challenging the validity of the DNA testing.
Nice.
She's still insisting he's the father.
Still hanging on to Keanu Reeves as the father. Maybe she should go back and check out her diary and find out who else she may have been with in 1988 and maybe send a lawsuit their way and leave Keanu out of it.
I'm guessing that whoever else that is the father doesn't have the money that Keanu has.
She's probably thinking he looked a lot like Keanu.
Yeah. And by the way, this is really interesting, and I don't know the answer to this because those are my favorite kinds of questions, but does every if every celebrity who sued for, hey, you had my, you know, I had your baby, are they required to pony up DNA for something like that? I mean, is that something you can't just ignore something like that, right? At some point, you may have to actually submit to it, right?
I think so, yeah.
Imagine if you want to defend yourself, I imagine you would, yeah.
But, I mean, what a pain in the ass for celebrities. I mean, you know, everybody in the world could file that against celebrities if they wanted to. But it is interesting that he did it, and he turned out to not be the father. So I think that's hilarious for her.
I don't know if you saw TMZ.com, but they took a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife, Maria Shriver, talking on the cell phone.
Yes.
And that's funny because while driving, and that's funny because the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, passed a law that you can't talk on the cell phone while driving.
Right. He signed that bill into law.
So he apparently twittered to Harvey that there's going to be swift action to crack down on the misses. That's not going to happen again. And, yeah, he wasn't talking about cell phones either.
She, I guess she has to not be photographed breaking the law if you're the governor's wife. I guess that just goes with the territory. Yeah. Before we get to celebrity birthdays, today is a very sad anniversary. It was on this date in 1981 that one of the worst things that ever happened to sports happened. Crazy George Henderson was a professional cheerleader, and I don't know how he did it or why, but it was on this date in 1981 in Oakland, California, I believe at an Athletics baseball game, that he created and led the first audience wave. Today is the anniversary of the wave, ladies and gentlemen.
Bastard.
I love the wave.
The wave is wave. The wave sucks, and there should be snipers in every stadium in this country. If you do the wave, they should just take you out. Who's with me?
Well, you know I don't like sports, so of course I like the wave, because it's something to do when I'm not eating a hot dog.
Right, but don't go then.
Yeah. Don't go.
Here's what I love. I don't mind the wave so much. I love the people who are incensed that you won't do it. Like, somehow that takes over their body at that moment, and it's the only thing in this world that matters, and they are out of their minds that you won't stand up and put your hands up. I love
this. Yeah, they're furious that you've chosen to sit in the seat that you paid for to watch the sporting event rather than stand up in front of everybody for 10 seconds every minute. Right. Anyway, screw you to hell, George Henderson, wherever you are today. Today's celebrity birthday, celebrity chef Emeril Lagasse turns 50 years old today. To that, we say bam! Also, Penny Marshall, actress and very famous director and Laker fan, number one. Number two, probably, number after two. Jack, is 67 years old today. Actress Tanya Roberts turns 54. She was on That 70s Show. Wasn't she a Bond girl, too, Lisa? Tanya Roberts?
I believe she was. And a Charlie's
Angels. Charlie's Angels.
And she was a Charlie's Angels. Yeah, she's been around. She's 54 years old today. The Duchess of York, Sarah Fergie Ferguson, turns 50 today. Probably best known for the Weight Watchers commercials.
I have lost all respect for all of you and the Black Eyed Peas.
No,
and
not
Fergie.
That. No,
you fugly bitch.
No, different, different Fergie. And musician Eric Benet, the former Mr. Halle Berry, turns 39 today, and that is the showbiz. Let me tell you why Daniel Tosh, who joins us in studio and is the host of Tosh.0 Thursdays at 10 on Comedy Central, is a great American, because he just came in and said these words: I hate the wave too. Come on. Well done,
Daniel. The only thing maybe worse than the wave is the tools that think it's cute to go to the 99-cent store before the game to buy all the balloons, the blow-up balls. And while I'm watching the game, they laugh as I get pelted in the back of the head because I was watching the game and not ready for the ball.
We have a guy here, our assistant producer, Dave, who the King of Mexico, who grabs those and pops them. He hates them so much.
And we were at a game one time, and we tried to you know, take one away from him, and he fought off like six of us.
He did.
It's supernatural retard strength.
Took him to the ground. It was
ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Good. So he's with you on that with the balls.
Daniel, I know you have said before you make no bones about it that you're a Floridian, and you don't pretend to be from L.A., even though you live here now based on your work. But I understand that you've actually become a little bit of a Dodgers fan. Is that true? You actually are starting to feel something for the hometown team.
I like the Dodgers. I had to pick one team in this town that I didn't despise, and it was the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It'll never be the Lakers. And was that bad?
Why, because you're an Orlando Magic fan?
No.
Miami Heat?
I do like the Heat.
Yeah. Oh!
How dare you? Like, that's offensive.
It's offensive to us.
So I can root for the Dodgers.
Good for you. I mean, are you a big enough star now with the TV show that you can get tickets for tonight?
I can get tickets. Anybody can get tickets. You just have to pay.
Well, yeah, but they do sell out. I mean, you know, playoff tickets go on sale, and they are gone. I mean, granted, they sell a lot of seats, but not everybody who wants to go this week in Dodger Stadium is going to be able to get tickets.
I hear you. Yes, but I could go.
Big enough star that you could go for free?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No.
Just trying to engage it.
I probably could go for free if I was willing to talk to people like... I don't know. If I said I'd re-sign with my old agents or something like that.
Oh, they would give it to you. Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Let's talk about Tosh.0, which we were so excited was picked up for, I don't know if they'd call it another season, but at least a few more episodes.
They didn't. They officially went on record as saying this is not another season because that would involve paying me season two money. And paying everybody on the staff season two money. So this is season 1B.
Okay.
Yes.
So season 1A was six episodes?
What's that?
Six episodes?
The first was 10.
10, okay.
10, and now we're back for six more. The first one premiered last Thursday. We had the Tron guy on there.
That was awesome.
Thank you. And we made my girlfriend make out with him.
Now I have
a girlfriend.
Yeah,
I was like, he got a hot actress to play that role. I was like, she's really hot.
You got your girlfriend to make out with someone on your show?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because no one else would do that.
She must love you.
Well, Daniel has told us in the past that they have zero budget, and really, whoever is in the hallway is the guy that ends up on the show because you can't exactly afford to go out and start casting for people, right?
Well, exactly, and you technically, if you do anything on the show, you get paid $267. So now we use that as a big like, all right, who's going to work really hard this week?
Who's going to get the cash?
We'll stick you in the bit.
Pot of gold.
Now I DVR your show. I got a season pass on Tosh.0, but I have not. I confess. Yes, I have not seen last week's episode. Tell me the story with the Tron guy.
Well, the Tron guy is this weird guy. He's in his probably mid to late 50s that lives in Minnesota. He dresses up in a tight spandex Tron suit. He's just a bizarre individual and talks. He's devoted his entire life to everything Tron online.
Which was
a 1982 or 81, something, early 80s movie. About Tron, a guy who got swept into a computer. I don't know. It's awful. Listen,
it's a terrible movie.
Talking about sci-fi makes me fall asleep.
And this guy is as dorky as it sounds like he would be.
Yes. So we thought it would be great, since we have the technology now, to put him in the world of Tron. So we let him live out his crazy fetish.
And, nice. And you were racing him, and you at one point flipped him off. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think he actually flipped me off.
Oh, he flipped you off.
Yes, but we did the whole Tron bikes. I don't know, and it was awesome.
Was your girlfriend the first woman he'd ever touched?
Yes.
I would assume so.
I can guarantee you that. How long did you have to talk your girlfriend into it, though? Because he is not... You don't go, I want to kiss that guy.
No. I would say there was a couple days I let her stew on it. I'm like, who else is going to give you this big break?
And $267.
That's right.
That's right. How about the world's shortest man, by the way?
I don't know.
Is that a question?
Is he amazing or what? The 2 foot man?
Oh, I don't even watch him. Is he huge online now? Is that what we're watching? Oh, that's
awful.
Well,
he's on your blog on Comedy Central.
Oh, I should read the blog today.
Oh, you totally should.
Oh, that's a shame.
You got to see the world's shortest man. He's 2 feet tall. He's amazing.
That's incredible. Now,
what does he do? Does he have a job?
He smokes. He smokes and has been smoking since he was seven. That's what the world's shortest man does.
Wow.
Just imagine how tall he would have been.
I see on, I think it's on Tonight's Show, you have the fat gunman.
Tonight, no. Tonight's show, the Big Web Redemption tonight is a class. This clip is so insane. It's this backyard wrestler.
Before you go into that, explain to people who haven't seen the show what it is you cover and what the Web Redemption is.
Every week we just, you know, we make light of some clips on the internet that probably shouldn't be viewed on television, and somehow we find a legal way to do it. And then we try to meet some of these people that became infamous on the internet for one reason or another, find their backstory, and then hopefully, in a somewhat good-natured way, give them a chance to redeem themselves. Maybe, you know, reenact an entire moment that they maybe want to forget forever. I think, I mean, that's pretty much the concept. Tonight we're doing some silly things, though. Like, I have Bill Allen on the show, who is a movie star and my childhood hero. From the movie Rad. It was a 1986 BMX movie.
Whoa.
Yes.
Wow, how do you get him to come on the show?
Well, I'll tell you.
How do you score a guest like that?
We called him.
What's he doing now? He's not acting anymore, right?
The movie was called Rad.
It was the greatest movie ever, okay? Yeah. Trust me on this. There's a huge cult following for this online. The video was never released, but people can illegally download it. It's the greatest movie ever. He won Hell Track. Anyway. I had him come on and help me with a stunt with this kid that wiped out on a bicycle. So he's on the show. And then the backyard wrestler, this guy that tried to do a backflip off of a chair onto his buddy. And he didn't rotate at all and went head first into him and his spine. It was bad.
It looked like he broke his back.
Yeah. It's really
and
bad.
That's why I like it when you play it 17 times.
So we're gonna create the ultimate backyard wrestling match tonight. That's going to be pretty intense, I assume.
That's fantastic.
I assume.
This will be the greatest episode, by the way.
The greatest one ever?
Well, the greatest one of our however many episodes, 12 we've done. This is the best one.
This is the one that may get you season two. That's what I'm going to predict for you.
Thank you.
That's how good this one sounds.
Next week, we take a dip.
Tosh.0 airs Thursday nights. Hey, and tonight's Thursday at 10 on Comedy Central. We'll take a quick break. More with Daniel Tosh when we return on The Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm so sick of these Canadians down here always complaining, right? Oh, it's nice here, but I couldn't live here. I love seasons too much. I love seasons. So do I. That's why I live in a place that skips the once.
Well, there is that. That's comedian Daniel Tosh. He is our guest in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right now with a new episode tonight at 10 on the Comedy Central. You're still out there doing stand-up all the time, too, right, Daniel, in addition to doing the TV show?
Yes. I'm just really working. You know what? No, it's funny, though. I think I'm in Boston this weekend or someplace, which is exciting since they have free time on their hands right now.
Yes, you got to start with go Red Sox.
Well, you know what I actually do? I say something like this if I'm to walk on stage in Boston. I say, I'm actually happy that their teams have won, all their sports have won lately in the past, you know, decade, so we can stop feeling sorry for them and go back to hating them for being the most racist people with the ugliest accent in this country.
It really is the ugliest accent. Oh, that's true.
It is disgusting.
And you'll say that on stage?
I will, all and right. Then I will say, how are you guys?
You get away with a lot, though, because you look like a nice guy. You look like a clean-cut, young, baby-faced comedian, and I don't think people, I mean, people don't look at you and think evil, which clearly you are.
Huh. All right. I thought it was because the jokes were so well crafted.
Well, it's that too.
Oh, sure.
No, it's nice. Listen, I'm happy that I get to say stuff like that, but I don't know. I enjoy doing the stand-up. I don't want to ever be associated with the hardest working person in show business. I would like the title of the opposite.
You want the least working man in show business.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Daniel, you're a guy who wants to do just enough to get by. That's where you're coming from, right?
Exactly. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want to be huge. I just want enough that I can parlay whatever this is.
Just stay lazy and don't make progress.
Well, I'll take a
little. But don't go backwards.
Yes. I do not want to go backwards. Okay. These are my goals. Dreams.
Let's give them the Nobel Prize. You know?
This may be a dumb question. I know that almost every famous person, almost every person on TV does develop at least some fans. But what's it like for a comedian? Are there a lot of chicks who are into comics? Because I get the sense that that's not the case. It's not the same as being in a band. If you're out there as a comedian, I would imagine that there aren't a lot of chicks specifically who like guys like that.
You have groupies waiting around afterwards?
I mean, I don't know. I could close deals wherever I am if I needed to.
If you needed to.
If I needed to. I don't, because I am a faithful person. I'm in a very grown-up relationship right now.
Sure. Okay. You made her kiss the Tron guy. That's how grown-up
exactly.
your relationship is.
Yeah.
But here's the question.
But the answer is yes. There's probably lots of girls out there that
really?
would be
I didn't
into.
Know that.
Would you have to troll, or would they be waiting for you?
Like, could you have a guy in the theater just, like, point?
You.
Yeah.
No, you'd probably have to do an awkward, like, meet and greet after the show with the fans, and then just, like, when one girl comes up, take a picture, say, hey, wait for me.
Right.
I don't know how.
You're smooth.
Exactly.
All right, so you'd have to work it a little bit.
A little bit. No, there's okay. not. There's certainly not a group of people waiting. That's sad.
Would you ever like to be on a sitcom?
It depends. I'd like to be on a sitcom if it was like I was the guy that had two or three lines an episode and like made $30,000 for that a week.
Just enough. You don't want to work. You really don't want
to
work.
I don't want to have to. Most sitcoms, I mean, 99% of them are such turds.
Right.
They are.
I certainly don't want my name attached to it.
Yeah, I could see that.
So you're still young and idealistic enough that you believe that you're
not
in
that
for
young.
The art.
No, he's not in for the art. He's in for the weed, and he just can't get off his ass and do work.
Look, I want to work. I just don't want to do something that's awful.
Right.
And that's yeah. and so
we used to feel
it.
That way too, by the way. Too. We gave up, and eventually you will too.
You have to learn to embrace awful.
This town will break you down.
That's what we
listen,
learned.
You're talking to somebody that was in the Love Guru.
So. Well, that is true.
That's true.
I will say yes to anything.
Is that your only movie credit? Is the Love Guru?
Are because you kidding me? That's the best credit you can have. I believe
that's what I'm saying.
Razzie.
If it's your only credit, that makes it even better, though, if that's the one.
It's kind of like Letterman in Cabin Boy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And your role is listed as cowboy hat.
Yeah, cowboy hat. That's the best.
Really?
Well, I wanted.
I got to tell you, I watched Love Guru, and it was awful. And I don't remember what.
Do you remember?
Can I tell you something else?
Yeah.
I have never watched it.
You haven't? Okay, good. You're ahead of me.
I read the script and was appalled. And they said, yeah, but they wrote a little scene for you. Just put you in a couple lines. Do you want to do it? I'm like, yes.
In your defense, though, that was at the time when, the star of the movie, Mike, what's his face?
Myers.
I mean, he was on fire. I mean, people laughed at the idea of the Austin Powers movies, for instance, too, or
exactly.
the Wayne and Garth movies. But he managed to make them great. We had every expectation that Love Guru was also going to be great. Just didn't work out that way.
That's why I can't wait till Judd Apatow calls me. It's like, oh, guess what? This movie's awful. I'm always late.
That's what you
should have been in his last movie.
Daniel Tosh is here with a new episode of Tosh.0 tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. Ordinarily, we would be saying goodbye to Mr. Tosh, but we're going to ask him to do us a favor because our band is back together now. I don't know if you've heard, Daniel. It was in Variety over the weekend, but Melfon is back together. But our drummer's on vacation this week, so we need a fill-in drummer. We got to do some auditions for drumming for the band. We'd like you to be our celebrity judge and help us choose somebody to join the band for tomorrow. Would you mind sticking around for that?
I would not mind, and I'm very qualified.
Do you know what if any do you know about the drums?
I don't know. I like to hit my steering wheel hard.
Good enough for us.
Okay. All right, good. You're qualified.
This is a very exciting part of the show and also terrifying. This is going to be fun for us, bad for you, the listener, because it's time for drum auditions for the band Melfon, which is the Kevin and Bean band that is back together after many, many years hiatus.
I think that's how we describe our show. It's fun for us, bad for you.
I'll be honest, it was a painful memory. I hate to revisit it, but Melfon did break up back about the time Tony Canale left to start No Doubt. Remember, so that kind of put Melfon in a bad spot. But we are back together after a number of years. Ralph is on vacation this week. He's our drummer usually, but since he won't be here tomorrow for the Friday appearance, we need a new drummer. Now, we have asked television personality and celebrity Daniel Tosh from Tosh.0 on Comedy Central to be our judge to help us decide who gets in the band tomorrow. And he is here. Our first applicant is going to be Miss Cleo. Is that right?
What up?
Yeah. Now, I'd like to suggest that the drumming is not pleasant to listen to if they don't know how to do it.
How dare you?
So perhaps we should go in short bursts.
Well, I mean, for me, I'm just sorry. This is Daniel speaking out of turn here, but I...
You're the judge. All right.
For me to really be able to judge this, I think I will need to hear at least a 5-minute solo.
Not going
to
happen.
Now, traditionally, and Mike, back me up if I'm wrong about this, but usually when a guy shows up to audition as a drummer, they get him to play Let There Be Drums or Wipeout or Hawaii Five-O or something that just shows some skills, right?
Well, mm-hmm. No, I see, with drummers, though, it's not like a guitar player. When he shows up for an audition, or she, you want him to play your song. Because you want to know how he or she applies to your music.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not, you don't really care if you can do Moby Dick.
But
you know,
the Melfon songs are so difficult that we wouldn't expect a drummer in this case.
Kevin, you took the words out of my mouth. Right. We're such a progressive band, and the demands on the drummer are so high.
I already said
that's true.
Let's just get her to do some standard.
I want to be
drumming.
Able to close my eyes and feel Ralph.
Okay. All right.
All right. Before you start playing for us, Miss Cleo, do you have any experience at all with drums?
Just natural talent. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
Okay, you're just born with it, right? And who is the celebrity drummer that you most admire that you will attempt to channel here this morning?
I envision the great Travis Barker.
Travis Barker. Okay. Wow, one of the best. All right, well, you should be taking your shirt off then if you're going to play like Travis.
He does play without a shirt. That does
just
happen.
A fact. All right, Daniel, burn this into your mind because there will be other auditions after this, and then you'll decide who gets to be the drummer for Melfon tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, audition number one. Here is Miss Cleo on the drums.
All right, let's do this.
I'm impressed. I got to be honest. I thought that was pretty good.
If you are impressed, I am blown away.
She's been practicing, trust me.
But considering she is not a musician, that's better than I could do sitting down at drums for the first time. I'll tell you that.
Wow. Take it easy, Miss Cleo. All right.
All right. Miss Cleo, contestant number one.
Does your song have that in it?
No.
Okay.
No, it does not.
You need to step aside and let the Mexican in there. Now, Dave, the King of Mexico, also is auditioning to be the drummer for Melfon as well to participate tomorrow as, of course, we roll through Rocktober. Hey, Dave, how are you?
He's talking to Mike.
Awesome.
For some reason. All right. Have a seat, Dave.
Yep.
Take the drumsticks.
Have you met our judge, Mr. Daniel Tosh?
I have. Hello, Mr. Tosh.
Hello.
Wow, he's not trying to make...
He doesn't need to.
He's not buttering you up or anything.
No, not at all. Why would he?
Dave, what kind of experience do you have?
I see drummers. In concert.
You watched
all right.
them?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
and
got
who,
a lot of layers on.
He has dressed for winter. And who will you be channeling? What celebrity drummer are you thinking of as you pound the skins here?
Rick Allen from Def Leppard.
The dude with one arm?
Yeah!
He's only got one arm!
Should I play with one arm? That'd be awesome.
If you could play with one arm, let's see it.
But well, remember, he's got the foot pedals set up so that that sounds like he's playing with both arms. So maybe you ought to use
foot pedal? All right.
Let's hear what you got. Here we go. Dave, the King of Mexico, now on drum. All right.
That's confident.
All right.
Whoa. You know, that's fine, Dave. Thank you very much. You can stop now, Dave. That's... We got it. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. All right. Stop. Stop. Thank you.
Yes, Daniel?
This just lets me know if these are true amateurs, then drummers really are the most pointless part of a band. Because how much better is a great drummer?
Way better.
Not much better. Not much better.
I think way better.
All right. I mean, that doesn't sound like a train wreck to me.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's because you're not going to be on stage with him behind you like we are.
I'm just, okay. I'm impressed so far.
I am too. I'm impressed also. Hold on.
Beer Mug just came into the studio.
Beer Mug? What are you doing here?
He's here for the Melfon auditions, he said.
Okay.
I didn't know it was an open audition.
I didn't either.
I thought we were just choosing between the two. Okay.
Daniel, Beer Mug, our intern.
I see a sleeve. He's tattooed out that, I don't know.
For a drummer?
I know.
Can you take away points from a drummer for being tatted up?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Because I feel like that gives him an unfair advantage.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. Beer Mug, two quick questions. What level of playing experience do you have in your past already?
Drumming since freshman year of high school, so about 9 years.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
What's going on?
We got a ringer. Who knew?
Who's allowing this?
Me.
Don't worry about it. You're already in second place.
By far.
That's an excellent point, Daniel. And last question for you, Beer Mug, and that is who's your favorite drummer that you're going to be channeling in the audition?
I like Ralph. I'm a avid Rush fan, Mr. Neil Peart.
Yeah.
Right. Neil Peart. Hard to argue with that. All right, those are difficult chops to aspire to, but let's hear what Beer Mug's
let's
got.
Let's see what you got, Beer Mug.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Come on.
Well, if you want it good, I could have done that.
Yeah, which, I mean...
Which, well, this, Dave?
Which Rush song was that? I didn't... Which Rush song was that?
Tom Sawyer?
Tom Sawyer, yes. That's right. I couldn't place it.
Well, I think that Daniel Tosh has a difficult choice ahead of him to decide...
No,
you don't.
I saw you were taking copious notes. I don't know what...
Mr. Tosh, who is tomorrow's drummer for the band Melphon?
Let's go through the contestants again. One
Miss
by one.
Was first.
And she brought a lot of originality to it.
She did.
But I didn't like it.
Okay. So that's a no.
Yeah.
And then we have Dave.
I think here's my opinion. I'm going. He started out one arm. That's just style. Everyone loves making fun of an amputee.
That's true, and it's easy. Unfortunately,
and for the band to have a little soul, I'll be honest. I like to play the race card here. I like a Mexican in the group. I think it's nice. I think it adds a little flavor.
I'm a Jew, Daniel. I'm a Jew.
You have everything already.
That's a good point.
My vote is for Dave.
Yeah!
My vote is for Dave.
How about that?
I'm going to set aside his vote, and I'm going to say Beer Mug is much better.
Yeah, Kevin! I love you, man!
I really don't think he
was
I don't think he was better.
It wasn't even close.
I don't think he was better.
You're high.
Thank you.
I agree with him.
You're both high.
I didn't get the sense that he was actually keeping time.
What?
Would you get at least a
point? No, I don't want to hear it again.
No, we don't want to hear it anymore.
It just seemed loud.
Right, Dave?
Yeah, I'll even admit, Beer Mug's way better than I am.
There you go.
But for Melphon, I'm the man.
I'm going to say here, I agree with Mr. Tosh as well, and that I think that Dave brings a little something to the band. I mean, sometimes it's more than just about technical perfection. It's about the feel. It's about the groove. It's about fitting in with the rest of the group, and I'm getting that sense from Dave more than I am from Buzz.
Kurt Cobain, because what if Kurt didn't let Dave Grohl in?
Yes, great point. Great point. I think we asked Daniel Tosh to be our celebrity judge to pick,
and
I think, but I think we've got to abide by the man's pick.
But we don't have to. We make up the rules.
Who made you the ruler of Melphon?
I'm the only.
He's in the band, at least.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Shut up.
Now I see why the band took a break for 11 years.
As one of the other members of Melphon, Psycho Mike, what would you say?
As a founding member, I'm going to stick with Dave.
Oh! Yeah!
Look at that.
As one of the only members of Melphon with any musical talent, Beer Mug clearly has the best rhythm. But I think Dave added a little something. Like Bean said, he added some flavor. He played with one arm. And I think he can help out on vocals, too.
And frankly, we need a Mexican in the band. We really do. So I got it.
Right, because that's like a roadie and a band.
That's right, exactly.
Egyptian isn't minority enough for you guys anymore?
No, sorry.
Whatever.
You weren't even in the running.
All right, we are out of time. Melphon will debut with the new lineup tomorrow morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Don't miss Daniel Tosh and his hilarious Comedy Central show tonight at 10. It is called Tosh.0. Daniel, thank you so much
for
coming
in,
man. Great to see you again. We appreciate it.
Love to see you guys out on tour.
Rise Again is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, a band I think that's going to be opening for Melphon out on the world tour coming up next year. That's not confirmed, though. I probably shouldn't have said anything.
I haven't decided that yet, yeah.
Right now, though, Ralph is on vacation this week. As you know, we are taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat, and Psycho Mike has the mic this time around.
Yeah! Woo!
Are you wooing yourself?
Yeah, I'm the only one that's going to do it.
Kind of sad.
Yesterday, Leona Lewis got punched in the face.
That happened.
Yeah.
For real, though.
Yeah.
She was doing a book signing. I guess she wrote an autobiography.
How old is she now? 23? 24?
She can't be she can't be much more than that. It is odd timing to write an autobiography now.
But she was signing it, right?
And a guy punched her in the face.
Did he rush her? Did he rush the book signing or something?
He was waiting in line like the rest of the patrons, and instead of getting his book signed, he punched her in the face.
You sound pleased.
Yeah.
That's news, Mike, and I find it very disturbing.
I'm just kind of shocked by it. I mean, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't like a riot broke out and she caught an errant fist to the dome. He pretty much went out over there to punch her in the face, and he punched her in the face.
Yeah, and who can have anything against Leona Lewis? I mean, maybe
well,
you're not into
listen,
pop
here's the deal.
Songs,
I know a lot
but...
of people think she's hot, and yeah. every once in a while I kind of do too.
Yeah. She is hot.
But
I think
from
she's
certain
hot.
Angles, she really looks like Humpty from Aww. Digital Underground because she has that long, flat kind of Daryl Strawberry nose.
Right.
And her eyes are almost too contrasting from her face. They look like transvestite contacts.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that.
But... But punching in the face.
No, I mean, that's... no. It's never okay to punch a woman in the face. It's just it was an odd story. Like I said, it wasn't as if he was screaming at her. It seems as if he went there with one goal in mind, and it was to punch Leona Lewis in the face. And I don't know, understand why, out of all celebrities, she's the one that you can get that angry at.
Yeah,
I don't know what she's done.
The list of celebrities you should put above her for
right.
that is long.
Right.
Yeah, Spencer Pratt's walking around untouched right now, and Leona Lewis has got a broken nose. What's
Speaking
up?
Speaking of people... who might deserve to get punched in the face. Roman Polanski is very busy right now, obviously awaiting extradition for giving a 13-year-old girl Quaaludes and then raping her. But
in
he's also finishing up his new movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. He is like I said awaiting extradition, but the screenwriter of his new film The Ghost says he has been giving specific instructions from behind bars on how to get the movie ready for the Berlin Film Festival in February as scheduled.
Okay. He's in jail, though.
Yeah.
And he's going to be taken here, and then he's going to be tried for rape.
But the nice Germans, of course, are going to be showing this film, The Ghost, starring Pierce Brosnan, in February at the Berlin Film Festival.
All right.
I was on the beaches of Normandy, Lisa.
You weren't.
Yeah. Okay?
You weren't.
Uh-huh. And it's just like the goddamn Germans to do something like this.
That didn't happen.
Robert Pattinson
yes?
is poo.
What?
Massive amount of caca. We all know he's been complaining ever since he became even somewhat famous about the trappings of being Rob Pattinson.
That is true.
He does badmouth it a lot. He's, I hate this,
this.
And he's not that famous yet.
No.
Shocking. In the Sydney Morning Herald, he's complaining again, saying that he may have legions of young female fans lusting after his body, but really all they want to do is to get to know the character Edward Cullen and not Rob Pattinson.
Well, that's because Rob Pattinson, the real guy, is a zero.
Sucks!
He doesn't have a personality or anything to offer. The character is more complex and well-written because it's a figment of an author's imagination.
You're exactly right, Bean. Thank you so much. Everybody here in Los Angeles knows a guy who's 10 times more talented and better looking than you, Robert Pattinson, and he's waiting tables at TGI Fridays.
That's
okay?
true.
And you happen to hit a gold mine with these stupid Twilight movies. Embrace it. He was eating lunch at a Beverly Hills restaurant 2 days ago, and 400 mostly female fans lined up hoping to get a glimpse of Mr. Pattinson.
Wow.
What was that?
I have no idea.
One of the fans when she spotted Rob.
Wow.
400 people lined up in the airport when I got back from Nam, Lisa.
That didn't happen.
You know what they did? And they weren't asking for an autograph. They weren't asking for an autograph. They were calling me baby killer.
And they did not want to do that.
You know what it was like?
You were born after Vietnam happened.
Yes. The Kong didn't have a picture-taking devices like the paparazzi. They had Russian-made rifles, and that's all I'm saying. Michael Bay, also a piece of poo.
Why? What's
Why
he doing?
He is caca extraordinaire. Well, we all know that he makes the set supposedly very difficult for Miss Megan Fox.
Right. Uh-huh.
She, in fact, compared him to Hitler in an interview in Us Weekly earlier, In Touch magazine earlier this year. Well, sources close to the movie say that Michael Bay is writing a dramatic death scene for her character in the next Transformers movie.
Really?
I think we just crossed the line.
You're goddamn right we did. Listen, I was born in 1979. That means Transformers hit. It was the highest buzz ever when I was a little kid playing with those toys. I couldn't be more into Transformers. The first movie came out about 3-4 years ago. It sucked my ass. I couldn't believe how bad I sat through it. I suffered through the cool special effects because that movie sucks.
I love that movie.
Second movie comes out. I have no interest to see it except for the fact that I was promised a good shot of Megan Fox getting off a motorcycle in short shorts. Okay?
That's true.
You kill off, listen, you pretentious douche, Michael Bay, you kill off Megan Fox, you're killing our dreams, you're also killing off that movie series, I'm guaranteeing you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Bought a house yesterday in Beverly Hills, 10,000 square feet, 8 bedrooms, a home theater, a pool, and most importantly, a beautiful view of Los Angeles up from the hills. She gets a clear view of Chris Brown picking up trash underneath a freeway overpass on the 101. Celebrity birthdays today. Emeril Lagasse. Mm-hmm. Maybe the most famous American chef. Not probably the best. Charlie Palmer, clearly the best American chef here.
Don't have a thought on that.
He was on Top Chef last night.
Don't have any idea.
He's really groundbreaking. He made people around the world really recognize American chefs, Kevin.
I don't have the category of chefs.
50 years old, Emeril Lagasse.
All right.
Oh, by the way, Vanessa Marsil's birthday today. Vanessa Marsil was an integral part of me becoming a man. She was on the soaps back in the 90s. She was later on Beverly Hills 90210, the original. Beautiful woman, 40 years old. Okay. Tito Jackson, former DJ at Power 106 here in Los Angeles. He was once a custodian, and he was discovered by the Baker Boys, brought into studio. He did Tito's Top 5 at 9.
This is Michael Jackson's brother, Tito. Unrelated.
Very different.
Singer Keisha Cole is 28. And the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, former Duchess of York, I should say, right?
Yeah.
50 years old.
Because they divorced.
Okay.
Oh, and everybody, a moment of silence, please. Moment of silence. I don't even know if I can do this.
Why are we doing this?
Captain Lou Albano died yesterday. Okay. I said Captain Lou Albano died yesterday.
You did say that. Yes, I heard you.
We had to look up his picture to see who he was. We've already processed
that and moved on.
He really brought the WWF before it was the WWE to the mainstream.
He is, yeah. Let it go, man.
Those of you not fans of mid-80s wrestling probably remember him from Girls Just Want to Have Fun video. At the height of her success, Cyndi Lauper knew she had to bring in Captain Lou Albano into her life, and he played her dad.
You feel me?
We were so close to being done with the showbiz beat. I felt like we got through all those birthdays and that was it. We were over. Yep. We could see the finish line. The exit was in front of us.
Mr. Albano, I do not know what service you are the captain of, but you're the captain of my heart. R.I.P. Lou.
Wrap it up.
We love you. And that was a K-Rock show this week.
I love death, and I understand you have a story that involves death for me.
Well, I have a story that involves cheating death, which you don't love, because you love it when people die. You love misery.
He beat it?
Yeah. He was dead for 15 minutes.
Dude.
And by the way, this is Kevin speaking. I have kids, and I learned CPR when I had kids, just in case. You know, I was taught CPR.
Yep.
It's all changed.
Responsible thing to do.
Yeah, they have changed. That's all changed.
And I didn't know that till I saw this story of this guy that was dead for 15 minutes. Here's some of the 911 call of the dude. The dad and the mom are calling 911, and the son is dead on the floor.
My son's not responding here. He's breathing. His eyes are open. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's snoring. Yes.
Is he awake and talking to you or not?
No, he's not.
Hurry up.
I'm going to give you some instructions. Stay on the line, man.
When that 911 call came in, Chris Brooks was dead. Clinically dead for more than 15 minutes. His heart stopped beating shortly after 3 o'clock in the morning on November 15, 2008. But here's the thing. It wasn't the end. In his case, and in several others that you're about to see, death was reversible.
15 minutes!
Unbelievable.
And then they go on to say that CPR has changed in that you don't need to breathe in their mouth anymore.
What a relief.
You thought you had to do mouth-to-mouth, right?
Did they just change that so people don't have to put their mouth on someone now?
They changed it because they say there's plenty of blood in your oxygen. You have to get the blood to the brain.
So just do the CPR.
Just do the chest as many times as you can, 100 times a minute if you can.
Do you still do that staying alive thing, or no, you go faster?
Just
now?
As fast as you can.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Wow. And they said it's changed the statistics a great amount in Arizona is where it first started. And that, you know, they started saving like a third more people were still making it because you don't have to breathe in their lungs anymore.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's amazing. I saw a story last year. It wasn't in the United States. It was in Canada or Europe or someplace like that where a woman was, they worked on her. They did the thing where they restart the heart with the machines.
Mm-hmm.
11 times to bring her back. She was dead for 40 minutes and they brought her back.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, it just seems, and I don't know, you're going to find this hard to believe. I am not a medical doctor. So So I don't know what the damage is, but it seems like when you're gone for that long, you have to start getting into organs failing and brain damage and all sorts of things. But by all accounts, she was fine afterwards. It was just a miracle.
I think you get brain damage from the lack of oxygen to the brain. I think
so as long as you keep the oxygen going, you're good.
Apparently, there's plenty of oxygen in the blood, and I didn't know that.
But then how? When do you ever decide to stop, you know, jolting their heart? Like, what's the cutoff point?
I think 24 hours. I think you have to do it for 24 hours.
Depends on who it is.
Psycho Mike is...
That's a good point, too.
Psycho Mike is the only one of us that I know who has died.
Twice.
Well, yeah. Once was during the showbiz beat about 15 minutes ago.
And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you died and came back. Psycho Mike,
yeah.
Twice.
One time I started taking these pills back in the day when I was a partier, and I was drinking a bunch, and I drank every day, but I started taking these pills, and I thought they weren't working, so I kept taking more and more. They were morphine.
And, morphine pills?
Yeah. And I guess I just didn't get the effect I wanted, but they all hit me all at once, and I had taken way too many, and I just passed out. I lost control of myself, and I started to vomit and choke on my own vomit.
Ew.
And my roommate at the time was a Army Ranger, and he happened to discover me, luckily. And he said I was blue and the whole deal, and he saved me, revived me, and they called. And then another time, which was officially the last time I ever drank or used drugs, I was in a hotel.
You would consider this rock bottom?
This was officially rock bottom.
Yeah.
I was in a hotel, a skeezy hotel in Inglewood out here in Los Angeles area. And
were you up to no good?
I was up to a lot of no good and using every drug in the book. And I was all by myself, and I don't remember ODing, but I totally OD'd. And the cleaning lady came around the next morning and happened to knock on the door, asking, you know, housekeeping, and she didn't get a response. So she opens the door, and there I am, all blue and nasty. So she calls 911, and the guys who revived me, eventually when I woke up in the hospital, they said, you were out for a long time. If she didn't come right then,
wow,
it would have been
so how long do you think you were dead?
It's hard to tell because I lost consciousness. I lost memory of anything so far in advance.
Yeah. You see a bright light or anything?
I didn't get any of that, like, really kind of cliche, you know, light at the end of the tunnel stuff.
Because both times you were way medicated.
Right. And I think that might have had something to do with it. But I do recall kind of like having conversations with myself.
Conversations with yourself, yeah. While you were out?
Yeah. The second time around, you know, that rock bottom experience, like you said, I do almost like a... recall seeing myself being
kind of an out-of-body experience.
Yes, like an out-of-body.
Exactly, like as if I was a ghost or a spirit within that own room.
Now, your situation, that second story you told was a wake-up call for you, and you said that was the last time you ever used drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
I
liked it the first time wasn't.
Yeah, no, good point.
He died once, and that wasn't enough.
I always wonder, and I don't know how old the guy was, Kevin, you started talking about in the original story that just broke this week. I mean, how old was that dude
who died?
He looked
like he was 25, 26, 27.
Okay. Yeah. Does that change the whole rest of your life if you've realized, hey, it could end, I literally was dead, now I'm back, now my life has to have new purpose or new meaning? I wonder how many people are affected in that way by that kind of near-death experience.
It's a good question. We have a bunch of people already on hold who died. Let's take one call before
okay.
we... Ah, shoot, we're running late. Let's take one. Let's talk to Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, good morning.
Your heart stopped for how long?
From what I understand, it was 5 minutes. I was completely gray. I was an unsupervised teenager, you know, dabbling in this and that. And luckily my stepmom was there, and she was a nurse, and she revived me. But prior to that, as I was coming to... It felt like I was underwater, and I was drowning. Like when you're in a pool and you look up and you can see the sun rays.
Right.
The,
yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what it was. And anyways, it felt like I was drowning. And when I came to, that's when I vomited into my stepmother's mouth.
Oh, right now. Excellent.
Good morning.
Excellent.
I don't have any brain damage or, you know, anything like
but
that.
But your stepmom did.
After that. But it didn't really change my perspective on life.
Good, good.
If anything, I do not believe in God, you know, and you would think that something like that would change one's view on religion and whatnot.
I can see how it would, because depending on how you interpret the fact that you came back, you could look at that as a spiritual thing or not, I guess. But are you still huffing?
No, No, hell no.
I think depending on what you saw when you were dead, that's how it would change you religiously. You know,
but I think some people would say that there's a reason I'm still alive. God brought me back for a reason. That's why I was thinking that somebody might believe in God more so if they survived something like this than if they didn't. But that's a fascinating story, Brent. I'm glad you called. Heart stopped for 5 minutes. Top that, listeners. We'll take a quick break and then your calls at 1-800-520-1067 right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:32.
One final look at the showbiz beat in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about a fascinating topic. We're talking to people who are in a club that I don't care to be in, which is people who have died and then come back to life. I'm fine with just dying one time, to tell you the truth. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. There was a story in the news recently about a guy who was dead for 15 minutes and then revived. We want to hear what our listeners have got. And why don't we start with Steven? He is on line two, victim of a motorcycle accident, it looks like. Hey, Steven, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin, Bean, this is Steven. I'm a big fan of you guys.
Thanks, sir.
Glad to be on the radio.
Thank you.
Wanted to let you know, I was killed in a motorcycle accident. Handlebars wound up bending and breaking my third and fourth rib and puncturing my left lung.
Oh, my God.
Then my heart basically stopped. I was dead for 8 minutes. They resuscitated me. I had frontal lobe damage, and the right side of my face was destroyed from the head impact. Well, because I wasn't wearing a helmet at the time.
Did you hear or see or remember anything from those 8 minutes?
No, but I did have reoccurring dreams about it because your subconscious brings back those memories that your mind tries to hide.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a brain clot behind my right eye and the base of my skull. My mother, you know, she's a very devout Christian, Catholic. She prayed to the Virgin Mary, and basically they did the CAT scan and brain clot, and all the hemorrhaging and everything was gone. So it was like a miracle.
That's amazing. So, hey, Stephen, let me ask you this. When you had the motorcycle accident, how did somebody get to you so fast in order to give you medical attention? Were you just lucky? Were paramedics in the neighborhood?
Luckily it happened in Panorama City, so I was like two blocks away from Kaiser.
Nice.
And they just happened to get there really quick. So,
okay, two quick questions for you, Stephen. One is, did you ever ride a motorcycle again?
No.
Okay. And second is, did it change your life in any other way in terms of how you approached however many years you've got left, knowing how easy it is for it to be gone?
Yeah. Basically, I did turn towards religion, but then I found it to be very, very confusing because there are so many different religions and who the hell's right. So basically, you know, I was raised Catholic and wind up becoming a Muslim now. And so that's where I'm at now.
Okay. All right.
Good times, man. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, too. Let's try Jared on line four. If unless Miss Cleo put a typo up there, Jared was dead for 25 minutes, boys and girls.
What? Jared?
Yeah.
25 minutes?
Yeah, I was actually born dead.
Wow. Oh, so it was when you were born.
What do you remember?
Your story is not as relevant, I guess, because you don't have any awareness of it. But you were born dead for 25 minutes, and they worked you as a little tiny infant for that long and were able to bring you back. And have you had any health problems as a result of it, or has it been cool?
Actually, I started off with asthma, but now I'm like the most healthiest kid in my family.
It's been cool, Bean. Is the answer to that question?
I just bet, you know, a lot of times, especially with newborns, you know, they get a tube wrapped around their, you know, brains or something like that, and there can be some damage. I just wondered if he has been essentially healthy since being born that way. It sounds like he has, so that's good news. All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's try, we got so many good ones here. Let's try Justin on line seven. Justin, thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. So back when I was like 4 years old, I drowned in my grandparents' pool, and they pulled me out and everything, and I got to the hospital, and since I was four, I don't remember, but apparently I like died for like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, when I woke up, I told my mom that while I was, you know, out, I saw myself flying over my body, and there were people with me, and I told them I wanted to go back to my mommy.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
Wait a minute. Who were the people with you?
They were just shiny.
Shiny, happy people.
They were just like shiny in there with me and asked me if I wanted to go, and I told them I wanted to go back to my mommy.
And that's when it ended?
Then.
That's when it ended, or?
Yeah, and then I guess I mean, I don't remember. I was too young to remember, but I did tell my mom that that's what happened, and they let me go back.
That's cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Hey, I want somebody to verify the whole 72 virgins thing, because I may become a Muslim if that's true, but we haven't heard any confirmation of it yet, so I'm not willing to convert just yet. Let's try Karen on line 5 on the Kevin Amin Show. If you're just joining us, we're talking to people who have died. Hey, Karen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin Amin. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Karen.
You died?
Yeah, I died for 7.5 minutes. I fell off a third-story balcony.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, because the railings were illegally too far apart and supposed to be 6 inches, and they were 12 inches.
Ah.
And my cousins were out there, and I wanted to go hang out with them, and they were, like, hanging out, and I just ran up to them, and I just went straight through. I didn't even grab on. I just fell straight through, and as I fell, I hit a beam, and it cut my head open, and it knocked me out.
Ouch.
So they had to airlift me to Children's Hospital, and they were working on me in the helicopter, and I don't really like.
Do you remember?
I just remember like having like I was kind of seeing things when I was laying there. I just remember looking up and seeing my cousins, and then they brought me back once, and then they lost me again. So they rushed me into the room over at Children's Hospital and brought me back again. But they were working on me for like 7.5 minutes.
Wow,
dude!
And you don't remember anything from that time?
No, I do remember, and it was just weird. Like, I remember when I came out, I was talking about, like, how I saw my grandfather, you know, and they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I saw Papa, and they're like, but he's dead, and I'm like, oh.
Was he shiny?
I didn't understand.
Was he shiny?
I'm just...
Yeah,
by the way,
shiny.
Karen, we have something in common too, because mine was supposed to be 6 inches and ended up being 12 inches. So I know exactly what you're talking about there. But thank you very much for the call. I guess the moral of the story is don't be dead, right? That's what we're saying. Try to avoid that. Just once per customer is fine.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat, and ladies and gentlemen, Britney Spears is back. You know, this tour that she has been doing, the circus tour, has been a phenomenal smash hit. She apparently is not crazy anymore. She debuted at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with her new single, 3, this week. It's the first time in years that a song has debuted at number one on the Billboard chart.
Wow.
Huh. That's how immensely popular she is. Huh. Her new upcoming greatest hits album called The Singles Collection is going to be out on November the 24th. But has anyone heard this song? Has anyone heard 3? Mm-hmm. Does it suck? Okay, we don't know.
I don't know. It's Britney Spears still, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's done some songs that I've liked. A lot of them have just been kind of boring, but 3, it's called, which I think is, I mean, that's a weird title. It's just weird.
Sure.
On the album charts, by the way, we were talking last week how Kiss was anticipating, perhaps the band Kiss, that's been around since about 1972, was anticipating their first ever number one album this past week. It didn't happen. They debuted at number 2 with Sonic Boom. Number 1 was Michael Bublé's new one called Crazy Love. And I will tell you that the chicks dig this guy. The chicks think this dude is dreamy.
That's got to be rough for Gene Simmons to see that dude.
Still number 2 for them. I think that's pretty great, right?
Gene, are you bummed out? I mean, are you taking this personally that Kiss did not make it to the top of the charts this time around?
I'm greatly disappointed. I anticipated the album would be at number 1, but we're still very happy because we raked in close to $8.5 million net. That's just what I personally made.
Sure.
And I hope the rest of the band did just as well.
You don't know?
Actually, no, I don't. I don't really care.
All right.
Toby Keith, by the way. It's too bad Ralph isn't here to enjoy it. The new Toby Keith album, American Ride, debuted at number 3 on the charts this week. Barbra Streisand was 4. Jay-Z's The Blueprint 3 came in at number 5. Country singer Luke Bryan at 6. Mariah Carey at 7. Miley Cyrus at 8. The Backstreet Boys are back with an album at number 9, if you can believe it, this week.
Huh.
And Breaking Benjamin. The only thing that's even remotely close to something we might play on this show, and even that we don't play, their new album is called Dear Agony. That rounds out your top 10.
Michael Jackson's 3 kids are going to be in a TV show on A&E, supposedly.
Hmm.
They are going to be in a reality show, Prince, Paris, and Blanket. And the Jacksons, a family dynasty. Catherine Jackson, the grandmother, Michael's mom, says, nope, over my dead body. A&E says, okay.
Look, I know that Catherine has probably contributed to some bad decisions in the Jackson family. She hasn't done all that she could to steer that ship in the right direction. But of the remaining Jacksons, the ones that are alive, she seems like the one who's the most level-headed at this point.
Absolutely. And I mean, what are they going to do with those kids? They're just kids. They go to school.
it's obviously about trying to get them all in on the show, right? The rest of the family?
I imagine, although some of the rest of the family are saying they're not going to have anything to do with it. Janet, yes. Rebe, no. Rebe's like, no, Michael would be very offended.
Really? Yeah. Rebe's turning down the paycheck? Janet, who doesn't need the money, is going
to
do it?
According to TMZ, she said, nope, not going to have any part of it.
This is odd.
Yeah, it's a strange story.
No.
I will tell you that if anyone in that family remembers their father, Michael Jackson, who died, they would know how much he would hate this and would do everything he could to fight these kids being on television.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't even want to go out without a mask on, for God's sake.
Yep.
A new article in Forbes magazine, they have published their list of the top 10 female earners in primetime television. I found this to be a fascinating list, by the way, because I really didn't know that some of these people were making the kind of cash that they're making. For instance, Mariska Hargitay, $8.5 million. Yes, sorry. $8.5 million last year, Mariska Hargitay.
Wow.
She's on the CSI, right?
No, Law & Order SVU.
Law & Order, yeah. She's on Law & Order,
CIS.
Right?
CSI.
Eva Longoria Parker, Desperate Housewives, bringing down $9 million last year.
Wow.
Marg Helgenberger, now she is on CSI, $9.5 million.
Okay.
Katherine Heigl, number two on the list. Again, we're talking about top 10 female earners in primetime television. Katherine Heigl, Grey's Anatomy, $18 million
last year.
Now, bear in mind, she also has a, you know, a pretty good movie career going, too.
Oh, okay, so that includes everything.
Yeah, she's getting huge bucks from that. Yeah.
Okay.
Number one on the list, it will blow you away that Tyra Banks made $30 million last year.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Now, I think she's one of the owners, you know, of her daytime talk show that's syndicated, and that's where a lot of that money has to come from.
But this
is
prime time.
Well, these are women who are on primetime television shows, how much they made. I don't think all of the money is made just from that TV show.
Of course,
she's got two popular TV shows with the daytime talk show and then the nighttime America's Next Top Model. But $30 million for Tyra Banks. And she may even still have endorsements and whatnot, too. But that is that's some mad bank. Hey, it looks like we're desperately out of time. We really do have to say goodbye, don't we? Real quick, celebrity birthdays. Actress and director Penny Marshall turns 67 today. Emeril Lagasse turns 50 today. Bam! Famous chef Eric Benet, former Mr. Halle Berry, is 39 years old today. The great Tito Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, who I guarantee will be on that TV show if he can. He is 56. And the former Princess Sarah Fergie Ferguson turns 50, best known perhaps for marrying into the wrong family. All right, that's all for the Showbiz Beat. We got another one for you tomorrow. What else is happening on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show?
Amber Heard in the studio talking about Stepfather. Got the movie beat because it's Friday. How you decide who to refuse as a friend on Facebook. Lisa May is extremely stingy.
I know that none of us have made the cut on Lisa May's Facebook page. I do know that.
I don't like you.
And Melfon!
Melfon!
Oh, yes.
Melfon? All tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett's next with 40 minutes nonstop, including Kings and Queens, that awesome new song from 30 Seconds to Mars, also one of the new songs from the Pearl Jam album, White Stripes Muse, and more next on K.